A Room with a View by E.M. Forster. Dramatized in four parts by David Wade. With Sheila Hancock as Charlotte Bartlett, Stephen Moore as Mr. Beebe, John Moffat as Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady as George Emerson, Barbara Jefford as Miss Lavish, Anna Cropper as Miss Allen, David Collings as Mr. Eager, and Kathy Serra as Lucy Honeychurch. Part 1, Miss Honeychurch, Giotto, and Too Much Beethoven.
February 23rd, 1905. This evening, Cousin Charlotte and I arrived in Florence.
Oh, dear. And found ourselves in the Pensione Bertolini, where the Signora turned out to be a Cockney married to an Italian, where the dining room is hung with a portrait of the Queen and another of the Poet Laureate, both of them long dead, and where there also hangs a notice for the English Church, chaplain in residence, the Reverend Cuthbert Eager, M.A. Oxon. As if that were not enough, all our fellow guests are English tourists like ourselves. Florence, I felt we might as well have been in London.
Our pensione was at first a little of a disappointment, not least because we had been promised adjoining rooms with a view onto the river. Instead, we had been given rooms far apart and overlooking a most disagreeable courtyard. Tired as we were, we rather let our disappointment show at dinner, not altogether wisely as it was to prove.
The Signora had no business to do it, no business at all. Oh, Lucy.
I did so want to have a view across the Arno. Oh, it is a shame.
Any look does for me, naturally, but it does seem hard that you should be without a view.
Cousin Charlotte, you mustn't spoil me. Of course, you must look over the river too.
The first vacant room in the front, and you must have it.
No, no, you must.
Hush, dear, not so loud. I insist, your mother, but for whose kindness I would not be here, has entrusted you to me. She would never forgive me.
On the contrary, I am the one she would never forgive.
Excuse me, but I have a view. I have a room with a view.
A view? Indeed. Yes, yes, a view. How delightful.
This is my son, George.
How do you do? I have a view as well.
Both of us have rooms with views.
Ah.
I don't quite
understand. Listen, leave this to me, please.
What I mean is that you can have our rooms and we'll have yours. We'll change.
Thank you very much indeed. That is, of course, out of the question.
Why?
Because it's out of the question. Thank you.
You see, we wouldn't like to take...
Lucy, please.
No, but I would like to know why. I mean, women like looking at views. Men don't. George, persuade them.
Well, it's so obvious they should have the rooms. There's nothing else to say.
Indeed, there is not.
But there is. There is a great deal to say. Why should you not change? We have the rooms.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, is there going to be a scene? Such ill-bred people who argue about rooms and views. Yet every time they speak, the argument grows wider, deeper, until it isn't about rooms and views at all, but rather about, I don't know exactly, something different, whose existence I had never realized before.
If you like them, George and I will clear out in half an hour.
Lucy, eat your dinner, dear.
That old man and his son seem very odd.
Just eat your dinner. This pension is a failure. Tomorrow, we make a change.
Good evening, ladies. Good evening, gentlemen. I do apologize for being quite so late. I was walking in the city.
Why, it's Mr. Beebe. Oh, how perfectly lovely. Charlotte, we must stop here now, however bad the rooms are. Mr. Beebe, how do you do? I expect you have forgotten us. I am Miss Honeychurch, and this is Miss Bartlett.
How do you do?
Whom I was visiting at Tunbridge Wells when you helped the Vicar of St. Peter's that very cold Easter.
Miss Honeychurch,
of course. Miss Bartlett, how could I forget?
Do please join us. There's a place just here.
Oh, have you?
Oh, I am so glad to see you. Just fancy how small a world it is. Summer Street, too, makes it so specially funny.
Indeed.
Miss Honeychurch lives in the parish of Summer Street, Mr. Beebe, where I understand you have just accepted the living.
Ah, quite right. I'll move into the rectory at Summer Street next June. I am most fortunate to be appointed to such a charming neighbourhood.
Oh, how glad I am. The name of our house is Windy Corner.
Very charming, too.
I live there with my mother and Freddie. That's my brother. Mm-hmm. Though it's not often we get him to... The church is rather far off, I mean.
Lucy, dearest, let Mr. Beebe eat his dinner.
I am eating it, thank you. And enjoying it. Now, Miss Honeychurch, tell me, do you know Florence well?
Oh, no, not well at all. That's to say I've never been here in my life and wouldn't be here now if Mother hadn't suggested...
Then permit me to advise you. Don't neglect the countryside around. The first fine afternoon, drive up to Fiesole and around by Settignano or something of that sort.
No, no, Mr. Beebe, you're wrong. The first fine afternoon, your ladies must go to Prato.
Oh, Prato? No, no, not too far. Start with something nearer home. Mr. Beebe's right.
No, I'm
get to know the city first. That's my advice to you, beginning with the Duomo.
Not the Duomo. Everybody should begin in the Piazza della Signoria. That's the heart of the
whatever
place.
Whatever else you do, don't leave without a tram.
If you can get on to one.
You're all wrong. Each one of you. Prato is the place. They must go to Prato before anything. It is too sweetly squalid for words. Oh. I love it. I revel in shaking off the trammels of respectability, as you know.
Or if we didn't, we do now.
Lucy, dear, if you have finished, perhaps we should go into the drawing room.
By all means. Good evening to you, Miss...
And to you. Miss Honeychurch.
Young lady, should you change your mind about the rooms...
You're very kind, but thank you. No.
Extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. Our good Signora bows us out of her dining room with her bambini beside her like any natural-born Florentine until she opens her mouth. Then, instead of Enrico mio, Vittoria mia, it's my boy Henry, my little girl Victoria. Most depressing. And as for this drawing room, pure Bloomsbury. Don't you agree, Miss Honeychurch?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Mr. Beebe, I must tell you that we are most grateful to you. The first evening means so much. When you arrived, we were in for a peculiarly mauvais carte.
I am extremely sorry to hear that.
Oh, yes. Do you by any chance know the name of the old man who sat opposite us at dinner?
Emerson.
Mr. Emerson. Is he a friend of yours?
We are friendly, as one is in pension.
Oh, then I'll say no more.
Oh, please, if there's been some small difficulty, I hope I may be...
Well, then... You see, Lucy and I were commiserating with each other during our dinner that both our rooms looked out onto the courtyard rather than the river, when to our complete astonishment, Mr. Emerson, without the slightest introduction, offered to exchange them for his own and his son's, which he tells us have a view.
Ah, I can see you might have been upset.
The point is, Mr. Beebe, that I am, as it were, my cousin's chaperone, and it would be a serious thing if I put her under an obligation to people of whom we know nothing. Mr. Emerson's manner was somewhat unfortunate. I hope I acted for the best.
You acted very naturally. All the same, I don't think much harm would have come out of accepting...
No harm, of course. But we could not be under an obligation.
He is rather a peculiar man.
Yes.
I think he would not take advantage of your acceptance, nor expect you to show gratitude. He has the merit, if it is one, of saying exactly what he means. It is so difficult... At least I find it difficult to understand people who always speak the truth.
Oh, but I was hoping he was nice. I do so always hope that people will be nice.
I think he is nice and tiresome. I differ from him on almost every point of any importance. As I expect, I may say, I hope you will differ.
Am I to conclude he is a socialist?
Well, for want of a better term.
And presumably he has brought up his son to be a socialist also.
I hardly know George. for he hasn't learnt to talk yet. But he seems a nice enough creature, and I think he has brains. Of course, he has all his father's mannerisms, and it is quite possible that, as you say, he too may be a socialist.
Oh, you're most helpful. But you think I ought to have accepted their offer. You feel I have been narrow-minded and suspicious.
Not at all. I never intended to suggest that.
But ought I not to apologize at all events for my apparent rudeness?
Certainly not. It would be quite unnecessary. Now, if you will both forgive me...
Oh, by all means.
Good evening, Mr. B.
Oh, dear. Was I a bore? Why didn't you talk, Lucy? He prefers young people, I'm sure. I hoped you would have his company for the rest of the evening.
He is nice, just what I remember. He seems to see good in everyone. No one would take him for a clergyman.
Lucia!
Well, you know what I mean. And you know how clergymen generally laugh. Mr. Beebe laughs just like an ordinary man.
You are a funny girl. How you remind me of your mother. I wonder if she would approve of Mr. Beebe.
I'm sure she will. Everyone at Windy Corner will approve.
Ah, yes. It is the fashionable world. I am used to Tunbridge Wells, where we are hopelessly behind the times.
Yes.
Oh,
I have been selfish and unkind. I must be more careful. It is so dreadful for Charlotte being poor.
Oh, forgive me, please, Miss Honeychurch and Miss Bartlett, too. I did not wish to startle you. Alan, Miss Catherine Alan, I wondered if I might be allowed to join you.
Oh, please do.
We should be delighted.
I could not help overhearing that this is your first visit to Florence and perhaps, indeed, to Italy.
That is so, Miss Alan, yes.
It is always such a plunge, a first visit anywhere.
Oh, isn't it?
But so gratifying after one has taken the plunge and it has turned out a success. That has certainly been our experience. My dear sister Teresa, you saw her, no doubt, at dinner. Well, the improvement in her health since you arrived in Italy is quite remarkable. Oh, one naturally learns to take all necessary precautions. At night, one closes the bedroom windows. In the morning, it is advisable thoroughly to empty the hot water bottles. And, of course, in such respects, Florence is much kinder to its visitors than Venice, where we spent a night and where I found in my bedroom something that is one worse than a flea, though mercifully one better than something else. But here you are, as safe as in England. Signora Bertolini, so... very English.
Yet our rooms smell. We dread the thought of going to bed.
That is because you look into the courtyard. If only Mr. Emerson were more tactful. Oh, we were so sorry for you at dinner.
I think he was meaning to be kind.
Of course, but he is not tactful. Yet have you ever noticed that there are people who do things which are indelicate and yet at the same time beautiful?
Beautiful? Are not beauty and delicacy linked?
So one would have thought. But things are so difficult, I sometimes think.
Miss Bartlett, it's all right about the rooms.
Oh.
I'm so glad. Mr. Emerson was talking about it in the smoking room, and knowing what I did, I encouraged him to make the offer again.
Oh.
He has let me come and ask you. He would be so pleased.
Oh, Charlotte, we must take the rooms now. The old man has been so nice and kind.
I see that I have been officious. I must apologize for my interference.
Oh, Mr. Beebe, please don't be offended. Dearest Lucy, my own wishes are unimportant in comparison with yours. It would be hard indeed if I stopped you doing as you liked when I am only here through your mother's kindness. If you wish me to turn these gentlemen out of their rooms, I will do so. Mr. Beebe, would you kindly tell Mr. Emerson that I accept his kind offer and then conduct him to me that I may thank him personally?
With the greatest pleasure.
Now remember, Lucy, I alone am implicated in this. I do not wish the acceptance to come from you. Grant me that at all events.
Why, yes. Oh, look, a piano. Quite good, all things considered. I wonder if the signora would allow me to play it.
Oh, how delightful for us.
Oh, I'm sure she would, dear. Ah, here's Mr. Beebe already.
Mr. Emerson is engaged, but his son has come in his place.
My father is in his bath, so you cannot thank him personally, but Any message given by you to me will be given by me to him as soon as he comes out.
Oh, indeed. Then perhaps you will inform... please give my compliments to Mr. Emerson. Tell your father I will thank him when he comes out... when I next see him.
I will do so, Miss Bartlett. Your rooms will be ready in half an hour. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Emerson.
Poor young man, how angry he is with his father about the rooms.
Yes. Well, if you will permit me, I have my diary to write up.
Oh, dear. A gentleman can mean so very well, but sometimes do not seem to realize.
Very true, Miss Allen. I remember once an uncle...
What do gentlemen not seem to realize? I can't make it out at all.
I thought this room should be mine, Lucy.
Just as you like.
With yours immediately beside it. Come, I'll show you. But first, I should explain.
What's that?
What, dear?
There, above your washstand. A sheet of paper with a question mark on it.
Gracious me. To think I did all my unpacking and never even saw it.
It's a very big question mark. Whatever can it mean?
I have no idea. But it's exceedingly obnoxious.
It must belong to Mr. Emerson.
Exactly. Oh, I suppose I ought to give it to him back. I shall put it in the blotter. So, now, your own room, dear. I so hope you will like it.
I'm sure I'll like it very much.
I was about to explain why it is that I have taken the larger room. Well, naturally, of course, I should have given it to you, but I happen to know that it belongs to the young man, and I was sure your mother would not have liked that.
I'm sorry, Charlotte, but I don't understand.
My dear, if you are to accept a favour, it is more suitable that you should be under an obligation to the father rather than to the son. I am a woman of the world in my own small way, and I know where things lead to. However, Mr. Beebe is a guarantee of a sort that they will not presume on this obligation.
Mother wouldn't mind, I'm sure.
No, but... Well. High time for Bedfordshire. Good night, dearest Lucy.
Good night, Charlotte. Oh, why does it have to be like this? Why can't we just accept? Anyway. Oh, but look. Charlotte has unpacked for me as well. She is so very kind. And yet I sometimes wish... The view! Oh, the light. All dancing on the river, the cypresses, and such a moon. Oh, kind old Mr. Emerson who made this possible. Everything happens at once. Come in.
Lucia.
Good morning, Charlotte. Oh, dressed already.
My dear, I really think you should not lean out of the window unless fully dressed. Nor, if I may say so, leave your door unlocked at night.
I am sorry. Whatever are you doing?
Looking in the cupboards. One cannot be too careful. Anybody might have tried your door while you were sleeping. No, all is well. So... Hurry along now, Lucy, I beg you, or the best of the day will be gone. I shall see you at the breakfast table.
Cousin Charlotte, you've already finished. I'm so sorry. I was as quick as I could be, but I...
Never mind, my dear. Here are rolls, and I'll pour you some coffee. Anyhow, I was having a most interesting conversation with Miss Lavish.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now then, I was thinking that as this is our first morning, and I am, after all, a wee bit tired, we had better spend it settling in. Unless, that is, you would prefer to go out.
Well, as it is our first morning, I would rather, yes. But, of course, I can perfectly well go alone.
Oh, Lucy, how can you suggest such a thing? I could not possibly allow it. I shall accompany you, of course.
Certainly not. If you are tired and wish to settle in, then I shall stop with you.
No, that would never do.
Charlotte,
I can easily...
I won't hear of it. We shall both...
No, Lucia, I can just as well...
If my lady propriety is troubling you, I do assure you that you can neglect that good person.
Oh, Miss Lavish, I don't believe you've been properly introduced to my cousin, Miss Honeychurch.
Ah, yes. How do you do?
Very well, thank you.
As I was saying, Lucy, dear, clever Miss Lavish was telling me so many fascinating things about Italy.
And one of them, Miss Honeychurch, is that being English, you will be perfectly safe. A dear friend of mine, Contessa Baroncelli, has two daughters, and when she cannot send a maid to school with them, she lets them go alone in sailor hats. Everyone takes them to be English, you see. Especially if their hair is strained tightly behind.
Most interesting, Miss Lavish, but all the same, I really feel I
but
ought
my
to...
my dear Miss Bartlett, why sacrifice yourself when there is no necessity? I was intending to spend a long morning in Santa Croce, and if Lucy would come too, I should be delighted.
Oh, well, if you are sure...
Absolutely. I will take you by a dear, dirty back way, Miss Honeychurch.
Not too dirty, please.
And if you bring me luck... we shall have an adventure.
Oh, yes. And Santa Croce, where is that? My Baedeker will know.
Tut, tut, Miss Lucy. I hope we shall soon emancipate you from that fellow. He does but touch the surface of things. As to the true Italy, he does not even dream of it. The true Italy is only to be found by patient observation.
Oh, the warmth. How the spirit blossoms in the spring sun of Italy.
Oh, yes, it does. And how the February wind comes down the side streets like a knife.
Here is the Ponte alle Grazie. Dante mentions it, you know.
Indeed.
The smell. A true Florentine smell. Every city, let me tell you, has its own smell.
It isn't a very nice smell.
No, one doesn't come to Italy for niceness. One comes for life. Buongiorno! Buongiorno! Look at that adorable wine cart. How the driver stares at us, poor simple soul. Perhaps it is my military cloak.
Perhaps.
Buongiorno! Take the word of an old woman, Miss Lucy. You will never repent of a little civility to your inferiors. That is true democracy. Though I myself am a radical. There, now you're shocked.
Indeed I am not. We are radicals too, out and out. My father always voted for Mr. Gladstone, until he was so dreadful about Ireland.
Well, I see. And now you have gone over to the enemy.
Oh, please. If my father was alive, I'm sure he would vote radical again, now that Ireland is all right. As it is, the glass over our front door was broken last election, and Freddy, that's my brother, is sure it was the Tories. But Mother says nonsense, it was a tramp.
Shameful. You live in a manufacturing district, I suppose.
No, in the Surrey Hills, near Summer Street, about 5 miles from Dorking.
Indeed! What a delightful area. I know it so well. It is full of the very nicest people. Do you know Sir Harry Otway? A radical, if ever there was one.
Very well indeed.
Now, and you have property in this Summer Street?
Oh, hardly any. About 30 acres, just the garden and some fields.
Bless us and save us. We've lost our way.
What?
Lost? Lost? My dear Miss Lucy, what are we to do? Two lone females in an unknown town. Now, this is what I call an adventure.
But everyone must know where Santa Croce is. Shouldn't we ask?
Oh, but that is the word of a craven. And no, you are not to look at your Baedeker. Give it to me. I shan't let you carry it. We will simply drift and see where fate takes us.
And what square is this?
Ah, there's a question. What indeed?
Oh, but Miss Lavish, look. Such lovely little statues. Did you ever see?
Heaven above. This is the Annunciata. Oh. We've missed our way by not less than a mile. Come. Come. Mm. Delicious, don't you think? Mm. Hot chestnut paste. So typical, so restorative.
Most delicious. If only it did not taste of hair oil and of... I dare not think what else.
And look, as if the restoration of the body were not enough, now the restoration of the spirit beckons. Santa Croce. Is it not exquisite?
Quite exquisite. It's hideous. It looks as if it had been made of icing sugar.
Let us enter and make obeisance to Giotto. No, stop a minute. Let those two people go ahead of us, or I shall have to speak to them. Oh, the British are abroad.
But we sat opposite them at dinner last night. They have given us their rooms. They were so very kind.
Look at their figures. They walk through my Italy like a pair of cows. It's very naughty of me, but I would like to set an examination paper at Dover and turn back every tourist who fails.
What would you ask us?
Us? Oh, my dear, you would not be one of my examinees. Oh, but wait. That old man across the piazza, the one with the white whiskers, I call him my local colour box. I must have a word with him. Signore! Signore!
Miss Lavish? Oh.
Signorina.
Please.
Please.
Go away. I have no money.
Please, signorina.
Go away. Nothing. Niente.
But where's Miss Lavish? She's gone. Vanished. And she's got my Baedeker. Now what shall I do? My first morning in Florence and it's ruined. Oh, well, since this is Santa Croce, I might as well go into it. It is, of course, the most wonderful building. Rather like an enormous barn, but very cold. Which are the Giottos, I wonder? They have tactile values, or so it said in Baedeker. But who is to tell me which and what they are? Oh, well, none of it matters very much. For after all, here I am in Italy, in Florence, in Santa Croce, and all around me the illustrious dead. Michelangelo, Galileo, Machiavelli. Such names.
Miss Honeychurch...
Oh, no, the Emersons.
What are you doing here? Are you doing the church? Are you through with the church?
No, I came here with Miss Lavish, who was to explain everything, and just by the door she simply disappeared and never came back, so I had to come in by myself.
Well, why shouldn't you?
Why try, George? Why shouldn't she?
But Miss Lavish has even taken away my Baedeker.
A Baedeker? Ah, I'm glad it's that you minded. It's worth minding the loss of a Baedeker.
What strange things he does say.
If you've no Baedeker, Miss Honeychurch, you'd better join us.
Oh, no. Thank you very much. I could not think of that. But as I am here, I would like to thank you for so kindly giving us your rooms last night.
My dear, I think you are repeating what you have heard older people say. You are pretending to be touchy, but you are not really. Stop being tiresome and tell me instead what part of the church you want to see. To take you to it will be a real pleasure.
I am not touchy, I hope. It is the Giottos I want to see, if you will kindly tell me which they are.
What you want is the Peruzzi Chapel. We will show you.
Remember the facts about this church of Santa Croce. Oh,
I am sorry. A guided tour. Half of England seems to have got here before us.
How it was built by faith in the full fervour of medievalism before any taint of the Renaissance had appeared.
Remember nothing of the sort. built by faith, indeed. That simply means the workmen weren't paid properly.
Observe, moreover, how Giotto in these frescoes, now unhappily ruined by restoration, is untroubled by the snares of anatomy and perspective. Could anything be more majestic, more pathetic, beautiful, true?
True.
How little avails knowledge and technical cleverness against a man who truly feels...
I see no truth in any of it. Look at that fat man in blue. He must weigh as much as I do, and he's shooting into the sky like an air balloon.
I do beg your pardon, sir. This chapel is somewhat small for two parties.
Yes.
He will incommode you no longer.
No, don't.
Do come this way, ladies.
This is simply terrible. Why did I agree to go with these two awful men? Oh, Miss Allen, good morning.
Good morning, Miss Honeychurch. Such an interesting guy, dear Mr. Eager. We do recommend him to you. What have you done with Miss Bartlett?
You'll not come back, please. There's plenty of room here for us all. Come back. Oh. Mr. Eager. George. I do believe that fellow is the curate we once had in Brixton.
Is he? I don't remember.
Yes, it's Mr. Eager. Oh, I'd better speak to him and remind him who I am. Now, why did he leave? Did we talk too loud? Oh, how vexatious. I shall go and say we are sorry. Then perhaps he will come back.
He will not come back. My father has that effect on nearly everyone. He will try to be kind.
I hope we all try to be kind.
Yes, because we think it improves our characters. But he is kind to people because he loves them. And they find him out and are offended or frightened.
How silly of them. I think that kind of action done tactfully.
Oh, tact!
Now I've said the wrong thing again. There he goes, pacing up and down. Such a rugged face for such a young man. Hard. No, not hard. He walks into the shadow, and it springs into tenderness.
Oh, they won't come back. We've spoiled the pleasure of I don't know how many people. But don't let us spoil yours, Miss Honeychurch. Have you looked at those saints?
Oh, yes, they are lovely. Do you know which is the tombstone that is praised by Ruskin?
No, I don't, but why not see if we can find it? Hmm? George, are you coming?
No, thank you. I prefer to stay here.
Could this be the tombstone, Mr. Emerson?
Maybe, I don't know. Oh, why will George persist in staying behind to look at that fresco? I saw nothing in it.
Oh? I like Giotto, though I like things like the Della Robbia babies better.
So you ought. A baby is worth a dozen saints. My baby's worth the whole of paradise, and yet, as far as I can see, he lives in hell. Yes, in hell. He's unhappy.
Oh, dear.
How can he be unhappy when he's strong and alive? What more is one to give him? And think how he's been brought up, free from all the superstition and ignorance that lead men to hate one another in the name of God. With such an education, I thought he was bound to grow up happy.
What am I supposed to say? Mr. Emerson, you're a very foolish old man and a very irreligious one. That's what I think.
What are we to do with him? He comes for a holiday to Italy and behaves like... like a child who ought to have been playing and who instead fell and hurt himself. What did you say?
Nothing, Mr. Emerson.
Listen, and don't be stupid over this. I don't require you to fall in love with my boy, but I do think you might try and understand him. You are nearer his age, and if you let yourself go, I'm sure you're sensible. You might help me. He's known so few women, and you have the time. Let yourself go. You are inclined to get muddled, if I'm a judge of people. Let yourself go. Pull out those thoughts you do not understand and spread them out in the sunlight and know the meaning of them. By understanding George, you may learn to understand yourself. It'll be good for both of you.
Mr. Emerson,
you see, I only know what's wrong with him, not why it is so.
What is wrong with him?
Oh, the old trouble. Things won't fit.
What things?
The things of the universe. It's true. They don't.
Oh, Mr. Emerson, whatever do you mean?
From far from eve and morning, and yon 12-winded sky, the stuff of life to knit me blew hither. Here am I. George and I both know this, but why does it distress him? We know that we come from the winds and that we shall return to them. Why should this make us unhappy? Let us rather love one another and work and rejoice. I don't believe in this world's sorrow.
Oh, no, nor do I.
Then make my boy think like us. Make him realize that by the side of the everlasting why, there is a yes. Transitory, if you like, but a yes.
I'm very sorry. You'll think me unfeeling, but your son wants employment. Has he no particular hobby? I myself have worries, but if any occur, I can generally forget them at the piano. And collecting stamps did no end of good for my brother. Perhaps Italy bores your son. You ought to try the Alps or the lakes.
Stamps. Stamps. I see.
Miss Honeychurch?
Miss Bartlett.
Oh, good gracious me. Where?
In the nave.
I see. Those gossiping little old Miss Allens must have...
Oh. Poor girl.
Poor girl. Mr. Emerson, I fail to understand the point of that remark. I think myself a very fortunate girl, I assure you. I'm thoroughly happy and having a splendid time. Pray don't waste time mourning over me. Thank you both so much for all your kindness. A delightful morning. Santa Croce is a wonderful church. Good day.
How sweetly you do play. You haven't seen my cigarette case, have you? No, I don't think you have. Anyway, as soon as I find it, or even if I don't, your cousin and I are going to gird our loins and make an expedition. Never mind the rain.
I'm sorry, Miss Lavish. What did you say?
She and your cousin are going on a little expedition. Never mind the rain.
Beeve, how long have you been tucked away there?
Since before you started playing. And I must say, if Miss Honeychurch ever takes to living her life as she plays her piano, it will be very exciting, both for us and for her.
Oh, what a funny thing. Someone said just the same to my mother, and she said she trusted I should never live a duet.
Doesn't your mother like music?
She doesn't mind it, but she doesn't like one to get excited over anything. She thinks I am silly about it. Once, you know, I said that I liked my own playing better than anyone's. She has never got over it. Of course, I didn't mean that I played well. I only meant...
Of course.
You see, music...
Yes?
I don't know. Poor Charlotte will be sopped. And we'll come back with a tickly cough.
I fear that in the few days you have been here, Miss Lavish has led your cousin astray. Now I believe she has persuaded her that they will only find the true Italy in the rain.
Miss Lavish is such an original.
So everyone keeps saying.
Is it true that she's writing a book?
Everyone says that as well.
What is it about?
Apparently, it is to be a novel dealing with modern Italy. But if you want an account... Let me refer you to Miss Allen.
I wish Miss Lavish would tell me herself. We started such friends. But I really don't think she ought to have run away with my Baedeker that morning in Santa Croce. Charlotte was most annoyed at my being left practically alone there.
The two, at all events, have evidently made it up. Fascinating, the ways of maiden ladies.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing, nothing.
Oh, look at that rain. The Arno is rising. Poor Charlotte really will be sopped.
Why, Miss Honeychurch, a window open on a day like this? You'll catch a chill.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Good afternoon, Miss Allen.
Oh, Mr. Beebe. But who would suppose that this is Italy? There is my sister actually nursing a hot water can. Miss Honeychurch, I could hear your beautiful playing, though I was in my room with the door shut, which is indeed most necessary in this country where no one has the least idea of privacy.
I quite agree with you, Miss Allen. The Italians are a most unpleasant people. They pry everywhere, they see everything, and they know what we want before we know it ourselves. We're at their mercy. Yet in their hearts they are superficial. They have no conception of the intellectual life.
Oh, good gracious, what is this I'm sitting on? A cigarette case?
Ah, that belongs to Lavish. A good fellow, Lavish, but I wish he'd start a pipe.
Oh, Mr. Beebe. Indeed, though, it is dreadful of her to smoke. It is not quite so dreadful as you suppose. She took to it practically in despair after her life's work was carried away in a landslip. Surely that makes it more excusable.
Her life's work? What was that?
It was a novel, and I'm afraid, from what I can gather, not a very nice novel. Anyhow, she left it almost finished in the Grotto of the Calvary at the Cappuccini Hotel in Amalfi, while she went for a little ink, and while she was gone, the grotto fell onto the beach, and the saddest thing of all is that she cannot remember a word of what she had written. Oh, the poor thing was very ill after, and so got tempted into cigarettes. I'm glad she's writing another novel, and so cheerful through it all. I cannot help thinking that there is something to admire in everyone, even if you do not approve of them.
Oh, yes, indeed.
All the same, she is a little too, I hardly like to say, unwomanly, but she behaved most strangely when the Emersons arrived.
Oh, really?
You know the story, Mr. Beebe, I think.
I do, Miss Allen, but she'll be most interested to hear how you tell it.
Well, Miss Honeychurch, I don't know if you have noticed that Miss Pole, the lady who has so much rather yellow hair, always takes lemonade. Well, old Mr. Emerson, who puts things very strangely, warned Miss Pole about the dangers to her... Oh.
Go on, Miss Allen.
Excuse me. I will order us some tea.
Dear, how tactful of him. It should have occurred to me. This was not a story that a lady could possibly finish in the presence of a gentleman.
In what way do you mean?
Her S, my dear. Her stomach. Old Mr. Emerson warned Miss Pole about the dangers to her stomach. I must say I forgot myself and laughed. It was so sudden, though, as my sister said, it was no laughing matter. But the point is that Miss Lavish was so positively attracted by his mentioning it, and said she liked plain speaking, she thought the Emersons were commercial travellers, and all through dinner tried to prove that England, our great and beloved country, rests on nothing but commerce. My sister was very much annoyed and left the table before the cheese. You see what a tangle we're in by this time, and all on account of S. having been mentioned.
Most unfortunate.
But that was not the end of it. After dinner, Miss Lavish actually came up to me and said, Miss Allen, I am going into the smoking room to talk to those two nice men. Come with me. Needless to say, I refuse such an unsuitable invitation.
I note that you are well on with your story, Miss Allen, so do let me finish it. Miss Lavish tried everyone without success and finally said, I shall go alone. At the end of 5 minutes, she returned, rather put out, and began playing Patience.
Whatever had happened?
Well, no one knows. No one will ever know. Miss Lavish will not tell, and Mr. Emerson does not think it worth telling.
Mr. Beebe. Old Mr. Emerson. Is he nice or not nice? I do so want to know.
That's a question I suggest you settle for yourself.
But it is so difficult. Miss Allen, what do you think? Is Mr. Emerson nice?
Come now, Miss Allen. I consider you are bound to class him as nice after that business of the violets.
Violets?
Violets?
He and his son both filled the Miss Allen's room with bowls of violets, so I heard.
Oh, how lovely.
Oh, dear, how things do get around. No, but I cannot forget how they behaved at Mr. Eager's lecture at Santa Croce. Oh, poor Miss Honeychurch. You were there, of course. It really was too bad. No, I have quite changed. I do not like the Emersons. They are not nice.
Well, I don't know. I can't help feeling that they are nice. Not that I see anything of them. Even their seats at dinner have been moved.
But aren't they always waylaying you to go out with them, my dear?
Only once. Charlotte didn't like the idea and said so. Quite politely, of course.
Oh, most right of her. They don't understand our ways. They must find their own level.
I have the feeling that they've rather given up their attempt, if it was one, to conquer society. These days the father is very nearly as silent as the son. I wonder if it would not be good to plan a pleasant day for them before they leave, an expedition somewhere. Do you think Miss Bartlett would consent to accompany you, Miss Honeychurch?
Oh, I hope she would.
I shall put it to her. People should be left with happy memories.
I believe it has stopped raining.
Yes, indeed. The sun is shining after a fashion.
Too late to go out. Oh, all the galleries are shut.
I think I shall go out. I want to go round the town in the circular tram, on the platform by the driver.
Oh,
I wish we could go with you. Unluckily, I have letters. If you do want to go out alone, won't you be better to go by foot?
Italians, my dear. On the trams. You understand?
Perhaps I may meet an Italian who can read me through and through. I can see you don't approve. Oh, well, I shall only go for a little walk, and I shall keep to the streets frequented by the tourists.
I think we might permit you that, Miss Honeychurch.
I shall see you at dinner.
She oughtn't really to go at all, and she knows it. I put it down to too much Beethoven.
What a lovely, exciting tram. But I have said I won't. Unladylike, as Charlotte is forever saying. Why are most exciting things unladylike?
It's not that ladies are inferior to men. It is that they are different. Their mission in this life is to inspire others to achievement rather than to achieve themselves. Indirectly, by means of tact and naturally a spotless name, a lady can accomplish much, but if she rushes into the fray herself, she will be censured, then despised, and finally ignored.
I know that's how it is, but why? Why does it go on? It's knights in armor, maidens, dragons, yes, it's medieval. Ah, well, since I can't go on an electric tram, I shall go to Alinari's shop and buy some photographs. Botticelli's Birth of Venus. Shall I?
Such a pity about Venus. Charming otherwise.
I shall take it. And what else? Giorgione. Sistine frescoes, Fra Angelico, Giotto, tactile values, Della Robbia, fat babies, Guido Reni. I'll have these, thank you.
7 lire. Grazie, signorina.
Grazie. €7. And the Birth of Venus. Have I struck a blow for liberty? Hardly. The world is certainly full of beautiful things, if only I could come across them. But nothing ever happens to me. Here's the Piazza della Signoria. It's beautiful, I suppose. But not like it was the first time.
How strange it is at this hour, all in shadow. Oh, but the tower in sunlight, like a golden pillar in the sky. Oh, do let something happen.
No, no, no. Cinque lire. Avevi detto cinque.
Oh, something is happening.
Senti un po'. Cinque, cinque, cinque lire. Senti tu. Vedevi quindici, quindici lire.
Ladro. Mascalzone.
Oh! What have I done? Oh!
Miss Honeychurch. Miss Honeychurch.
What? Where? Oh. Mr. Empson. Where am I?
In the Uffizi Arcade.
What happened?
You fainted.
Oh, I'm sorry. But how did I get here? Did you carry?
How are you now?
Perfectly well. Absolutely well.
Then let us go back to the Bertolini.
How very kind you have been, but now I am well. I can go alone. Thank you. Oh, my photographs.
Photographs?
I bought some photographs at Alinari's. I must have dropped them in the square. Would you add to your kindness by fetching them?
Of course.
Oh.
Miss Honeychurch, you must sit still. You aren't fit to go home alone.
Yes, I am. Thank you so very much.
No, no, you aren't. Wouldn't try to sneak off if you were.
But I had much rather...
Then I won't fetch the photographs.
I would rather be alone.
Listen, there's been a quarrel over money. One man has stabbed another, and the second man is dead. Is probably dead. So stay here till you're rested. And don't move until I come back.
Oh, what have I done? Going on. He only seemed to tap the other man on the chest. It made him frown, and he bent toward me as if he wished to tell me something. But when he opened his mouth and bluffed...
I know. I saw. After you had fainted, the murderer tried to kiss the man he had just killed and then gave himself up to the police.
How odd Italians are. Mr. Beebe was saying that they know everything, but I think they are rather childish. What was that? You threw something into the river. What did you throw in?
Something I didn't want.
Mr. Emerson?
Well?
Where are my photographs? I believe it was my photographs you threw into the river.
I didn't know what to do with them. They were covered in blood. There. I'm glad I've told you. I was wondering what to do with them. They've gone. It seemed better that they should go out to sea. Oh, I don't know. I may just mean they frightened me. For something tremendous has happened. And I must face it without getting muddled.
A man has died.
Yeah, yes, but not that exactly.
Mr. Emerson.
It has happened, and I mean to find out what it is.
Mr. Emerson. I want to ask you something before we get back to the pension. I have behaved ridiculously. I was never so ashamed of myself in all my life. I cannot think what came over me.
Oh, it's quite understandable. I nearly fainted myself.
Well, I owe you 1,000 apologies.
Oh, it's quite all right.
And this is the real point. You know how silly people are gossiping. Ladies especially, I am afraid. You understand what I mean?
I'm afraid I don't.
I would be grateful if you would not mention it to anyone. My foolish behaviour.
Your behaviour? Oh. Yes. All right, all right.
Thank you so much. And as to your kindness in carrying me, would you also not... would you... Anyhow, thank you so much. How
quickly these accidents do happen, and then one returns to the old life.
I don't.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
I shall probably want to live.
Mr. Emerson, what do you mean?
Oh, I would have thought it was quite clear. I want to live.
In part one of A Room with a View by E.M. Forster, dramatized in four parts by David Wade, Kathy Sarah played Lucy Honeychurch, Sheila Hancock, Charlotte Bartlett, John Moffat, Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady, George Emerson, Stephen Moore, Mr. Beebe, Barbara Jefford, Miss Lavish, Anna Cropper, Miss Allen, and David Collings, Mr. Eager. Other parts were played by Gilly Bond, Michael Tudor Barnes, and Ian Masters. The pianist was Terence Albright. A Room with a View is directed by Glyn Dearman. By E.M. Forster, dramatized in four parts by David Wade, with Sheila Hancock as Charlotte Bartlett, Stephen Moore as Mr. Beebe, John Moffat as Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady as George Emerson, Barbara Jefford as Miss Lavish, David Collings as Mr. Eager, and Kathy Sarah as Lucy Honeychurch. Part two, Good Men and Violets.
March the 1st, 1905. Today we went into the city and... I really don't know what to write. Quite suddenly everything has changed. Only a week ago this wasn't Florence at all. It was the Pensione Bertolini, exactly like a bit of England. Then... things began to happen. The Emersons gave us their rooms with a view over the Arno. I went to Santa Croce. Miss Lavish heartlessly abandoned me, and yes, the Emersons again took me under their wing. Such a curious pair. But what has changed things more than anything is that yesterday a young man was stabbed to death in front of me, and who should be there to rescue me but yet again, young Mr. Emerson. It seems as if there's no avoiding him. Them. I really don't know what to make of them. I think they're nice. But, goodness me, how funny Charlotte is. As Mother says, you never know which way she'll turn. I dreaded telling her all about my great adventure. Well, not quite all of it. Yet when I did...
poor Lucy. Truly a most distressing experience. However, and all things considered, it could have been a great deal worse.
Oh, do you think so?
Certainly. If Mr. George Emerson had not happened to be there, from what you say, he behaved with exemplary courtesy and good sense, more perhaps than might have been expected. Had I been with you, as alas I should have been, I too would have insisted that you left the piazza instantly.
I am glad that you approve of his behaviour.
On this occasion, I do. Miss Lavish and I also had an adventure on our way home, didn't we, Eleanor?
What's that you say?
Our adventure. I was on the point of telling Lucy.
My word, yes.
As we were passing by the Dazio, some young customs officers had the impudence to stop us.
Good gracious, whatever for?
That was only too obvious.
They seemed to think we might have some provisions and proposed to search our reticules.
I soon put a stop to that.
Yes, Eleanor is a match for anyone.
With young men of that stamp, you simply have to make it clear that you will stand no nonsense.
Ah, well, I, for one, am more than ready for Bedfordshire. What do you say, Lucy?
Yes, I'm very tired.
Good night, Eleanor. I so enjoyed our afternoon. Good night, Signorine.
Oh, I do wish there was someone I could tell what really happened. All my adventure, not just the abridgment. But there's nobody to tell. I am all on my own.
Some more coffee, Lucy?
Yes, please.
I shall make a little list of all the things we have to do this morning, and after that, perhaps we ought to go out.
Whenever you like.
Ah, Miss Bartlett, Miss Honeychurch, the very people I was looking for.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Peeve.
Good morning.
Now then, I have a plan to put to you. This morning, I am walking up to the Torre del Gallo with both the Emersons and some American ladies. I do so hope you will join our party.
Oh, Mr. Peeve, how kind. But for myself, I went there only yesterday. In the pouring rain, of course, but even so. Besides, I have so many errands to perform. For Lucy, though...
Oh, no, if you don't mind.
My dear, why ever not? You know how you hate shopping, fetching letters, changing money, all that kind of thing.
No, Charlotte. Mr. Beebe, it really is most kind of you, but I will be going with my cousin. I would much rather...
Oh, well, very well, dear. You must do as you like, of course.
We shall be extremely sorry not to have your company, but never mind. I have another plan for all of us. A drive one day this week by Settignano and Fiesole. I do hope both of you will join us for that. Enjoy your shopping.
Oh, if Charlotte only knew. It isn't her I want to go with, it's who I don't want to go with. Really, I do treat her quite abominably. I shall be extremely nice to her all morning.
My dear, have you seen the river? What a torrent after all our recent rain. Do let us stop and look.
Of course. But please not here. This is where he...
Is anything the matter?
No. Why should there be?
I know what it is. You would like to stop where we can see the Torre di Gallo. I feared you would repent your choice.
Dearest Charlotte, I do not repent being with you in the least.
How good you are to me. Let us turn off here.
Where are you taking me? Ah, the Piazza della Signoria.
I felt sure you ought to see it by the clear light of day.
How thoughtful you are. Oh, ghosts, ghosts.
Charlotte, Miss Lucy, well met.
I have obtained a newspaper and read about last evening's catastrophe, and you know, it has given me an idea which I believe I will work up into a book.
Oh, Eleanor, I do congratulate you. What a fortunate thing.
But I'm doubly fortunate. Miss Honeychurch, come you here. You must tell me absolutely everything you saw of the incident.
Oh,
but perhaps you would rather not.
If you could manage without it, I think I would rather not. I'm sorry.
It is I who am sorry. We literary hacks are shameless creatures. I believe there's no secret of the human heart into which we would not pry. I've been in the piazza since 8 o'clock, collecting material. It seems the two men quarreled over a 5-lira note. But I shall make the subject of the quarrel a young lady.
Oh, a heroine. And what will you call her?
Leonora.
Leonora. Oh, Eleanor, of course.
Her participation will not only raise the tone, but furnish an excellent plot.
And what is the plot to be exactly?
Ah, what indeed? Love, of course.
Of course.
Love of Leonora, which is the reason for the murder. Murder followed, as I see it, by abduction, leading to implacable revenge.
Oh, how thrilling.
And that is the barest outline. There will be a deal of local colour, and I shall introduce some humorous characters.
And let me give you all fair warning. I intend to be unmerciful to the British tourist.
Oh, you wicked woman. I'm sure you're thinking of the Emerson.
I confess that in Italy my sympathies are not with my own countrymen. It is the neglected Italians who attract me. For I insist that a tragedy such as yesterday's is no less tragic because it happened to those in humble circumstances. And now, if you will forgive me...
Why, Eleanor, of course. We wish you all success with your labours.
Oh, yes, indeed. Goodbye, Miss Lavish.
Arrivederci, signorine.
That is my idea of a really clever woman. Hers will be a novel full of pathos.
I am sure it will be. Just so long as I am not in it.
She is emancipated, but only in the very best sense of the word. We had a long talk yesterday. She believes in justice and truth and human interest. She also told me that she had a high opinion of the destiny of women.
Miss Bartlett! Miss Honeychurch!
Oh!
Good morning to you.
Mr. Eager, what a pleasant surprise.
Oh, not for me, alas. I have been watching you for quite some time.
We were talking to Miss Lavish.
So I saw.
Photografie, signore. Panorami, photographs, panorama.
Go away. And that de via. Sono occupato. But I am about to venture a suggestion. Would you and Miss Honeychurch be disposed to join me in a drive someday this week? A drive in the hills? We might go up by Fiesole and back by Settignano.
Oh, Mr. Eager, what a wonderful suggestion.
Oh, but you've only heard the half of it. There is a point on that road where we might get down and have a ramble. And where the view of Florence is most beautiful. It is the one that Alessio Baldovinetti is fond of introducing to his pictures. That man had a decided feeling for landscape. Decided! But who looks at it today? However, we shall do so.
Well, I'm sure that we accept your invitation with the greatest pleasure, don't we, Lucy?
Well, yes, but Mr.
Beaver's... Oh, we shall be a party carré. And in these days of tumult, one has great needs of the country and its message of purity.
Photograph, signore, panoramas.
Ecco, signore. Andate, andate via. Presto, presto. You see, the town, beautiful as it is, remains the town.
How very true.
Indeed, this very square, so I am told, witnessed yesterday the most sordid of tragedies. To one who loves the Florence of Dante and Savonarola, there is something portentous in such a desecration. Portentous and humiliating.
Humiliating indeed. Miss Honeychurch happened to be passing through as it occurred. She can hardly bear to speak of it.
And how, young lady, did you come to be here?
Please, Mr. Eager, do not blame her. The fault was mine. I left her unchaperoned.
So you were here alone, Miss Honeychurch?
Practically.
One of our acquaintances at the pension kindly brought her home.
For her, too, it must have been a terrible experience. I trust, Miss Honeychurch, that neither of you were at all, that is to say, it was not in your immediate proximity.
He died by the fountain, I believe.
And you and your friend...
were over at the loggia.
Well, that must have saved you so much. But forgive me, I'm keeping you in conversation when I'm sure you must have more important things to do.
Oh, no, Mr. Eager, only errands and a little shopping.
Shopping? Oh, then I am your man. As a resident of Florence, I can guide you, if you will allow me, to places where you will be asked to pay no more than a fair price.
Charlotte's right. I do hate shopping. Presents, mementos, most of them quite hideous.
Miss Honeychurch, let me commend to you these brooches. They're excellent value. Mere mosaic, of course, but with the appearance of stones.
Which the maids next Christmas will never tell from the real thing.
Lucy, for your dear mother, I thought I might purchase this charming little picture frame.
Fashioned as far as anyone can see from gilded pastry.
Heraldic saucers? Very typical. Or perhaps you prefer the classical. Eros and Psyche in alabaster? Speaking for myself, I feel...
And all of it would cost much less in London. Oh, shall we never leave this horrid shop? What a disagreeable morning. Miss Lavish frightens me. Mr. Eager, too. I don't know why. When people frighten you, you stop respecting them. I don't believe Miss Lavish is a great artist. I doubt if Mr. Eager is as full of spirituality and culture as he would like us to suppose. As for Charlotte, Charlotte is the same as ever. One can be nice to her, but it is impossible to love her. Oh, what's Mr. Eager talking about now?
He is the son of a labourer. Oh, yes, I happen to know it for a fact. He was a mechanic of some sort himself when young. Then he took to writing for the socialistic press.
This can only be the Emersons.
How wonderfully people rise these days.
Generally, one has only sympathy with their success. A desire for education and for social advance. In these, there is something not wholly vile. Indeed, there are some working men whom one would be very willing to see out here in Florence, little as they would make of it.
Is Mr. Emerson a journalist now?
He is not. He made an advantageous marriage.
Oh, so he has a wife?
Dead, Miss Bartlett, dead. I wonder he has the effrontery to look me in the face, to dare to claim acquaintance with me. He was in my London parish long ago. The other day in Santa Croce, when he was with Miss Honeychurch, I snubbed him. Yes. And let him beware that he does not get more than a snub.
What?
Oh, yes. Exposure. Now, I have said enough.
Are you saying that he is an irreligious man? We know that already.
Lucy, dear.
I should be astonished if you knew all. The boy, an innocent child at the time, I will exclude. God knows what his education and his inherited qualities may have made him.
But perhaps it's something that we'd better not hear.
I agree. I will say no more.
You have said very little.
It was my intention to say very little. Well then, if you want to know, murder. That man murdered his wife.
How?
To all intents and purposes, he murdered her. That day in Santa Croce, did they say anything against me?
Not a word, Mr. Eager.
And I thought perhaps they had been libelling me to you. But I suppose it is only their personal charms that make you defend them.
I'm not defending them. They're nothing to me.
How could you think Lucy was defending them?
She will find it difficult to do so, for that man has murdered his wife in the sight of God.
Perhaps, after all, I will buy this Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yes. And I must be going.
Thank you for your great kindness, Mr. Eager. And we look forward with immense pleasure to our drive.
Oh, is that taking place?
Lucy, where are your manners?
My dear young lady, if my suggestion does not take your fancy, far be it from me.
No, Mr. Eager, on the contrary, we were both as keen on the idea as possible, but Lucy was not absolutely sure that it was definite, were you, dear?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Eager.
Well, do not concern yourself, Miss Honeychurch. I cannot have made myself perfectly clear. And now I must indeed be on my way. Good morning to you both.
An invitation from a man like Mr. Eager is something to be sought. Remember, he is the English chaplain here in Florence, a resident. His knowledge of the city is exceptional. He is acquainted with all the best people. A drive with him is an occasion.
Bother the drive.
You see.
But Charlotte, don't you see? It is exactly the same drive as Mr. Beebe suggested this morning. Why should Mr. Eager invite us in that absurd manner? We might as well invite him. We are each paying for ourselves.
Oh. If that is so, dear. I mean, if the drive we're going on with Mr. Eager is the same as the one suggested by Mr. Beebe, then I foresee a sad kettle of fish.
How?
Because Mr. Beebe is sure to ask Eleanor Lavish to come.
That will mean another carriage.
Far worse. Mr. Eager does not like Eleanor, and she knows it. The truth is, she's too unconventional for him.
Yes. Oh, what sort of a place is this Florence, where the world I know breaks up and turns into a magic city where people think and do the most extraordinary things? Murder. Accusations of murder. Is this what always happens in these streets? Oh, you are such a beautiful city. But is there more in you than meets the eye? The power, perhaps, to stir up passions, good and bad, and to fulfil them.
Mind you, as far as the arrangement is concerned, we may never know whether it is Mr. Beebe who forgot to tell Mr. Eager, or Mr. Eager who forgot...
Oh, how happy Charlotte is to be troubled over things that do not matter, and to appear oblivious to things that do.
It is really you they want, my dear. I, of course, am only asked for appearance's sake.
You shall go with the two gentlemen, and I and Eleanor will follow behind. A one-horse carriage will do for us. Oh, yes, how difficult it is. What do you think about it?
I don't know what I think, nor what I want.
Oh, dear. I do hope Florence isn't boring you, Lucy. Speak the word, and as you know, I would take you to the ends of the earth.
Thank you, Charlotte.
But here instead is the post office. Well, now, these two letters are for you.
One from Freddy. It will be the usual scrawl, all athletics and biology.
Biology?
You forget, my brother is a medical student.
Oh, so he is. How foolish of me.
And this one's from my mother. I shall read it as we go along. Spring has sprung some quite unusual surprises. Crocuses, which, if you recall, we bought in the belief that they were yellow, have come up puce, a colour not at all pleasing in crocuses. Then the new parlourmaid has watered all the ferns with essence of lemonade. Few, if any, are expected to recover. Dear Sir Harry Otway called upon us yesterday. His heart is broken at the new semi-detached cottages, which he says will be the ruin of Summer Street. Oh, dear mother, dear Windy Corner, where I am allowed to do everything, and nothing ever happens to me.
And what news from your mother, Lucy, dear?
Oh, nothing much. Except that Mrs. Vyse and her son Cecil have gone to Rome. She gives us the address of their hotel.
Indeed. Oh, not that way, if you don't mind. Let us walk back through the Piazza della Signoria. One can never have too much of that.
I suppose not. Do you know the Vyses?
No, I don't believe I do.
They're really nice people. So clever. At least my idea of what's really clever.
Oh, don't you long to be in Rome?
I die for it. Charlotte, listen. What if we popped off to Rome tomorrow, straight to the Vyses Hotel? I'm sick of Florence. You said you'd go to the ends of the earth for me, so do. Oh, do.
Oh, you drool person. If we were to rush off to Rome, what, pray, would become of your drive in the hills?
The difficulty is that Mr. Beebe has also asked the Emersons.
And so he should, since Eager would doubtless have omitted them. His sort has no idea of proletarian worth.
Regrettably, Mr. Beebe did not consult with Mr. Eager first.
He knew how his suggestion would be met, that's why.
Perhaps, but it was thoughtless of him. Not only have we been obliged to hire 2 four-seaters, but must be careful as to who should ride with whom.
Where is the difficulty? I am all for liberty. Let people sit exactly where it pleases
them. No. For one thing, we must at all costs see to it that Mr. Eager does not ride with old Mr. Emerson.
Why should we do that?
My dear, believe me, it is necessary.
Then what do you suggest?
Well, you will not wish to be with Mr. Eager either, I imagine.
I'm indifferent to him and his opinion of me.
Well, what I propose is this. Mr. Eager rides with me and Lucy. You with Mr. Beebe and both the Emersons.
Must it be both?
I thought that you approved of the Emersons.
I do, exceedingly. I only feel their honest virtues should be shared equally among us. Let the old man ride with you.
But that would place him once again with Mr. Eager.
Take the young Emerson, then.
Even worse, Lucy simply cannot endure him. Oh, how difficult all this is.
Ah, well, it seems I must resign myself to the undivided riches of both father and son.
Miss Bartlett, Miss Lavish, if you are ready, our carriages are at the door.
Ah, are we all assembled? Excellent. Then how are we to sit? May I suggest...
Mr. Eager, if you'll allow me to...
Signore. Miss Bartlett.
Signore, mi dispiace, ma...
Eager, our young Phaeton wishes to address you.
What?
Our charioteer, our driver. Phaeton, to the life. Don't you agree?
I don't see Phoebus letting him drive anything. Well, my man, what do you want? And who is this young woman?
Mia sorella is my sister, signore.
What's she doing here?
Please, she liked very much if se poteva venire con me.
Come with you?
Si.
No, it's out of the question.
Ma signore, sta sempre a casa, non esce mai.
No, I tell you, this is nothing but an imposition.
Oh, Mr. Eager, you're very hard.
Oh, on the contrary, Miss Lavish, I know these people.
First a ride, and then
Something else.
This will prove the thin end of the wedge.
Then let it be so. Must we be so unadventurous, Charlotte? At least you will back me up.
Well, I must say, Mr. Eager, I don't really see the harm.
Oh, come on, Eager. Look at the poor girl, all pale and pensive. Doesn't she remind you of Persephone come out to meet the spring? The least we can do is let our Phaeton drive her into it.
If you insist. Young man, listen to me. Your sister may accompany you on the box, but only as the greatest favor. Do you understand?
Si, signore. Ho capito perfettamente. Grazie.
Now, where were we before that little diversion?
You were just about to arrange the seating, Mr. Eager, but if you will perhaps allow me...
Does it matter how we sit, so long as we sit somewhere?
Oh, Mr. Beebe, indeed it does. Miss Lavish and I have made a plan.
Now, don't anybody worry about me. Just put me anywhere. After such a heavy lunch, I shall fall asleep for sure and very likely snore.
Well, I shall give a lead and get in here.
Yes. Oh, well, then, Mr. Emerson, if you and your son will kindly join Miss Lavish in the leading carriage...
No, you can't put us together. We're always together. George, you get into the one behind.
Oh, but Mr. Eager, would you perhaps...
Miss Bartlett, why don't you and Miss Honeychurch join me and young Mr. Emerson?
Thank you, Mr. Beep. But Lucy, dear, I think you might prefer to go with...
That's right. Miss Honeychurch, why don't you come and talk to me? I think we're friends again, don't you? And the leading vehicle, in any case, is my responsibility.
Oh, no, but Mr. Eager... this is a catastrophe. Eleanor has landed up with Mr. Eager, he has landed up with her and old Mr. Emerson, and I with that impossible young man. The afternoon is ruined.
This expedition is the work of fate. But for it, I would have avoided George Emerson forever, which is all the more necessary because he plainly did not wish to avoid me. It's not that I dislike him. It's that I can't make out what happened the other day, and I think he can. It's frightening. Anyone can be upset at the sight of death, but to talk about it afterwards, to go from talk to silence, to... sympathy. Something has gone wrong. Wrong in every way. We are to blame. We are wicked. That's why I must avoid him. But somehow fate in the shape of Charlotte and two English clergymen would not suffer me to leave Florence till I had made this expedition.
So, Miss Honeychurch, are you travelling as a student of art?
Of art? Oh, dear me, no. Oh, no.
Perhaps as a student of human nature, then, like myself.
Oh, no, I am here merely as a tourist.
Indeed. If you'll not think me rude, we residents sometimes pity you poor tourists. Handed about like a parcel of goods from Venice to Florence, from Florence to Rome.
Oh, do look. Phaeton has just looped the reins around his sister's waist and his arm with them. Mercifully, Mr. Eager has his back to them, and Mr. Emerson's asleep. Not that it would worry him, I'm sure.
In one inextricable world. You know the American girl in Punch who says, "Say, Papa, what did you see of Rome?" And the father replies, "Why, I guess Rome was the place where we saw the yaller dog." And that's tourism for you.
Oh, I quite agree. The narrowness and superficiality of the Anglo-Saxon tourist is nothing less than a menace.
Quite so, Miss Lavish. Now, the English colony of Florence, Miss Honeychurch, and it is of considerable size.
Now he's trying to kiss Persephone. Oh, lucky girl. They and Mr. Emerson must be the only ones enjoying this expedition.
Lady Helen Laverstock, for instance, is at present busy over Fra Angelico. I mention her name because we are passing her villa on the left. No, you can only see it if you stand. Oh, no. Do not stand, or you will fall. This man is driving far too fast. Slower. Piano. Slower. Piano.
Sì, va bene, signore. Va bene. Benissimo.
You see, some critics go so far as to believe that Lady Helen's garden is the scene of the Decameron, which lends interest, does it not?
It does indeed. Where, I wonder, do they place the scene of that wonderful seventh day?
Slower! Piano, do you hear? If you look now to your right, Miss Honeychurch, you will see the house of Mr. Van der Plank, an American of the very best type. So rare,
One must be grateful.
Tell me, Mr. Eager, since, as you promised us, we're shortly to view Florence from the perspective of Alessio Baldovinetti, do you look upon him as a cause of the Renaissance or as one of its manifestations?
Slower! Piano! How many more times do I have to... Stop the carriage instantly!
What's happening? Well, what's going on?
I don't know, Mr. Emerson.
Young man.
Signore.
Tell me the truth. Who is that person beside you?
Why have we stopped? Is anything the matter?
That, Beeb, is what I'm endeavoring to ascertain. I repeat, who is this person?
E mia sorella, my sister, l'ho già detto.
She may be many things, but she is most certainly not your sister.
Signora.
You are a liar, bugiardo.
No, signore, davvero.
You have lied to me quite shamelessly. No tip for you. Nessuna mancia. Signorina, get down this instant off the box.
Mr. Eager, this is all quite unnecessary. These young folk are lovers, and on no account should they be separated. Carry on, my dears. Oh. Pray carry on.
Mr. Emerson, I would
let them be, though I dare say I shall receive scant support. But all my life I've flown in the face of the conventions.
No, we must not submit. I knew he was trying it on. He is treating us as if we were a party of Cook's tourists.
Oh, surely not.
Beeb, I appeal to you. Surely you will back me up.
If you ask me, after the warning they have had, they will now behave themselves and we can proceed.
Behave themselves? What have they done that is wrong? Leave them alone, Mr. Eager. Do we find happiness so often that we should turn it off the box when it happens to sit there? To be driven by lovers... Oh, a king might envy us.
Mr. Eager, is it not possible to proceed?
I dare say it is, Miss Bartlett, but I am not to be swayed. Young man, this woman is not your sister.
See,
you have lied shamelessly. You have behaved shamelessly. Hand her down with no more ado.
Oh, signorina.
Why does he turn to me? What can I do? And why does she... Oh, the way she looks.
Hand her down, I say.
Sir, signore.
Andiamo. Victory at last.
It is not a victory, Mr. Eager. It is defeat. You have parted two people who were happy. You agree with me, I know, Miss Honeychurch. Speak up for me. And George, you too. Speak up. Defend me. We have tried to buy what cannot be bought. His bargain was to drive us, and he is doing so. We have no rights over his soul.
He was not driving us well. He jolted us.
Now, that I deny. It was as restful as sleeping. But he's jolting us now, right enough. Can you wonder? He'd like to throw us out. And most certainly he is justified. And if I were superstitious, I'd be frightened of the girl, too. It doesn't do to injure young people. Have you not heard of Lorenzo de' Medici?
Oh, most certainly I have. Do you refer to Lorenzo il Magnifico, or to Lorenzo Duke of Urbino, or to Lorenzo surnamed Lorenzino, on account of his diminutive stature?
The Lord knows. Well, possibly he does know, for I refer to Lorenzo the poet. He wrote a line, or so I heard yesterday, which runs something like this. Don't go fighting against the spring.
War not with May would render a more correct meaning.
Well, the point is, Mr. Eager, we have warred with it. Look down there, into the valley. 50 miles of spring, which we've come up to admire. Do you suppose there's any difference between spring in nature and spring in man? But there we go, praising the one and condemning the other, ashamed that the same laws work eternally through both.
I hope, that we are at a point where we can get down and commence our ramble.
You imagine, Mr. Eager, that Alessio Baldovinetti stood to paint his pictures.
Ah, Miss Lavish. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the great question before us. And one I hope we may resolve before the day is out. For certain it was hereabouts. My sense is that it must have been a little to our left.
Would you think so? I have a clear impression, and I was studying a reproduction of the work in question only yesterday, that it would have been a good deal more in the opposite direction.
I really doubt his work will bear out that interpretation. If you consider the relative positions of the various city landmarks...
What's your opinion, George?
Well, since there is a thick haze over the entire city, I don't see how anything can be made out at all.
No more do I.
Well, Mr. Eager, I shall put it to the test. Charlotte, come and give me your advice.
Oh, with pleasure, though I know nothing of these matters. Lucy, why not stay with Mr. Eager and Mr. Beebe and hear what they decide?
Oh, no, thank you. I'd much rather come with you, Charlotte.
Beebe! Let you and me go over there a little. I suspect that we shall find the spot we're looking for, if you wish.
I'm sure they'll find nothing of the sort.
No question about it.
Then you and I had better go and practice our Italian on the drivers, George. See if we can make amends. Have you a cigar to offer them?
Well, this is where I thought he must have stood. But now I see the view, I'm no longer sure. What do you say, Miss Lucy?
I'm sure I don't know either.
Ah, well. Tell me, Charlotte, how were things in your carriage? Better, I hope, than they turned out with us.
No, hardly. For the sake of conversation, I inquired of young Mr. Emerson what his profession was. Can you imagine what he answered?
I'm no good at guessing. Tell me.
The railway.
The railway?
That's what he said. And I was very sorry I had asked and did not know what to say. But dear Mr. Beebe came to my rescue and turned the conversation so cleverly.
The railway? Oh, but I shall die. Of course it is the railway. He's the image of a porter. Oh. on the southeastern...
Eleanor, hush, they'll hear.
I can't stop. A porter.
Eleanor.
The Emersons can't hear, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind if they did.
Miss Honeychurch, you were listening. You naughty girl, go away.
Oh, Lucy, you really ought to be with Mr. Eager.
I'll never find them now. And anyway, as I said, I don't want
Mr.
to...
Mr. Eager will be offended. It is your party.
Please, I'd much rather stop here with you.
Now, I agree with Charlotte. It's like a school feast. The boys have got separated from the girls. Miss Lucy, you are to go. We wish to converse on topics unsuited for your ear.
Then please do so. I shall not listen.
Oh, I do wish Freddy and your mother could be here. How tired one gets.
Tired? Then, Charlotte, observe my foresight.
What have you there?
My dear, Macintosh squares for us to sit on.
Foresight indeed.
Warranted to protect the human frame from damp grass or cold marble steps.
But you have only the two.
I fear so.
Lucy, you shall have the other one.
No, Charlotte, I'm not tired. I'm perfectly content to stand.
Out of the question. The ground will do for me. Really, I have not had rheumatism for years. If I do feel it coming on, I shall stand.
Charlotte, please.
Imagine your mother's feelings if I let you sit on the wet grass in your white linen. No, this spot will suit me admirably.
Charlotte, the ground is soaking.
No, not that you would notice. Here we are now, all delightfully settled. Even if my dress is thinner, it will not show so much being brown. Oh. Sit down, dear, please. You're too unselfish. You don't assert yourself enough.
I shall go and find Mr. Beebe and Mr. Eager.
But where are Mr. Beebe and Mr. Eager? Nobody to ask except...
Signore?
Signorina, che vuole? You want?
Where clergyman?
Dove clergy?
Yes, si, clergyman.
What's clergy?
You know, good men. Buono uomini?
Buoni uomini, good men. Good men give me cigars, see? Very good.
Very kind, I'm sure, but where?
Venga con me. Come, come, I sure come, come.
Oh, goodness me, where is he going? Can Mr. Beebe and Mr. Eager be in such a thicket? Oh, I do hope I haven't made a terrible mistake. Signore?
Va bene, va bene. Aspetti. Momento.
Now what? Why are you stopping? Oh, violets. Great blue violets.
Si.
Viole.
Ecco.
For me?
Per la signorina. Per lei, signorina.
Oh, how lovely. Bella, bella, grazie. But, ma buoni uomini?
Subito, subito. Come, ascio.
What is that?
Niente, it's nothing.
I think we passed them.
Passed them? Oh, no, capisco, passed them.
Too far. Good men back there, that way.
No, 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 Indilda. Good men here. Venga qua. Here. Eccolo.
Where? What? Oh, help me, please. I didn't see the bank. Please, help me up.
No, signorina. Va bene così. It's all right, so. Coraggio. Coraggio. E amore.
Whatever does he mean? Oh, well, what does it matter? Since I seem to have fallen into a pool of violets. They're beautiful, like blue water nourishing the earth. Blue earth, gold sky, blue everywhere and gold.
Miss Honeychurch.
Mr. Emerson.
Lucy.
Oh, Mr. Emerson!
Lucy? Ah! Lucy!
Ah, there you are, Miss Bartlett. Just in time. We're about to start for home. Is anything the matter?
No, Mr. Egan, no. My cousin lost her way a little, that is all. Oh,
Miss Honeychurch, I fear the fault is mine. Miss Lavish said that you were looking for me. I'm so sorry.
Say no more about it, Mr. Eager. It is not your fault, and we have had a very pleasant afternoon, in spite of everything. We do thank you for arranging it.
George, has anybody seen my boy?
A few minutes ago, Mr. Emerson, he was admiring the view. Go through there. You may find him.
Well, you mean through the bushes?
Yes.
Well, how can anybody get through there? What can he be thinking of? George! George!
Beebe, if you can find Miss Lavish and collect both Emersons, we can make a start.
By all means, but tell me, what's been going on?
Well, has anything? I've not the least idea.
You vanished on the hillside, and when I tried to find the others to share my tea basket, they'd all vanished too.
Yes, well, there you are. We should collect everyone just as soon as possible. The driver says there's going to be a thunderstorm.
I have a feeling there's already been one.
Ah, thank goodness, there's the Lavish woman now.
Charlotte, at last. My dear good creature, what became of you? And Lucy, you look as if you'd seen a ghost.
I'm sorry? Lucy is a little tired, that's all. Eleanor, I have a terrible confession to make.
Charlotte, my dear, whatever can it be?
I have lost one of your precious Macintosh squares.
Oh, dear.
I can't find it anywhere.
Well, of course, you must have dropped it. Have you no idea where?
Well, it may have been... Well, no, not really. No idea at all. And I've looked everywhere. I'll replace it naturally, here if possible, or else as soon as we get home.
Let us talk about it later.
Yes.
After all, what's the loss of one Macintosh square? Signore,
c'è tuono! Andiamo, subito, andiamo!
My friends, if you will take your seats, we must be on our way.
Lucy, dear, this time I'll ride with you, if you don't mind.
Oh, please do. I should like that more than anything.
Charlotte, are you sure that girl's all right?
Oh, nothing that a little rest won't quickly cure.
Andiamo, dobbiamo andare!
Our dashing Phaeton certainly is not all right. He cannot still be sulking, can he?
But if he is, it's no concern of mine.
Ah, l'indesina, cosa vuole, eh? Non sa lei, non sa proprio niente lei. Io lo so, io le mostrerò ciò che vuole, ciò che desidera. Coraggio, amore. Ah. Andiamo, signora.
Is everyone aboard?
I still can't find my boy.
The signorino will walk.
What, all the way?
Sir, he know, I warned him.
I'm quite sure he'll manage, Mr. Emerson. Such youth, such vigour.
Well, I hope so. What can he be thinking of?
If everyone is ready at last, do let us go. Andiamo.
Andiamo.
did I not think to bring an umbrella? This parasol is quite inadequate. Lucy, dear, come closer.
If I might say so, Will, there is something almost blasphemous in this horror of the elements. Are we seriously to suppose that all this immense electrical display is simply called into existence to extinguish you and me?
No, of course.
Even from the scientific standpoint, the chances against our being struck by lightning are enormous. The steel knives, the only articles which might attract the current, are in the other carriage. And in any case, we are infinitely safer than if we were walking. So, courage. Courage and faith.
Yes, Mr. Eager is quite right, my dear. Courage and faith.
Oh, Charlotte, you are so good to me.
Mr. Eager!
Yes, Mr. Eager!
Will you very kindly stop for a moment?
Oh, yes. Oh. Stop, driver! Yes. You hear?
No, won't.
Look, I'm so sorry, but Mr. Emerson is still worrying about his son, and I seem unable...
Mr. Eager, ask your driver, please, which way George went. The boy may lose his way. He may be killed.
Mr. Eager, do not ask our driver anything concerning young Mr. Emerson. He is of no help.
Then what do you suggest?
Go and support Mr. Beeb. The old man is driving him demented.
Here we are. He may be killed. Could you ask your driver, please?
Oh, typical behavior. In the presence of reality, that kind of person invariably breaks down. Now, look here, Mr. Emerson. Try and be a little calm.
Charlotte, how much does Mr. Eager know?
Nothing, dearest. But he, of course, our driver, knows everything. Dearest, had we better... shall I...
It is so dreadful to be entangled with low-class people, even if their words count for nothing, even if one is never to see them again. All the same, he saw it all. Signor?
Signorina.
Silenzio.
Va bene.
There now.
Yes. Oh, Fenton, does your silence come so cheap? I thought better of you than that.
Oh, good heavens, what was that? Mr. Eager, have we been struck by lightning?
No, no, no. It was close, but we are spared.
See, Charlotte, Jupiter Pluvius may be against us, but the Thunderer is on our side.
Oh, yes. We have been saved as by a miracle.
I call this a real adventure. An adventure frees the spirit. It opens up the soul to endless possibilities for good. When it is over, one is as if reborn. Do you not agree, Mr. Eager?
Well, perhaps I should say a short prayer. Oh, merciful God, we thank thee that thou hast deigned to spare us in this our time of peril. Amen.
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 Drive on, please. Andiamo.
Hey, andiamo.
Dearest, put this wrap around you.
Charlotte. Oh, dear Charlotte, kiss me. Only you can understand me. You warned me to be careful, and I thought I was developing.
Do not cry, dearest.
I have been obstinate and silly. Worse than you know. Far worse. Once by the river. Oh, but he isn't killed. He wouldn't be killed, would he?
No, I trust not. One would always pray against that.
He is really... I think he was taken by surprise, just as I was before... But this time, I'm not to blame. I do want you to believe that. Oh, no, I really want to be truthful. I am a little to blame. I had silly thoughts. The sky was gold, and the ground all blue with violets. And for a moment, he looked like someone in a book.
In a book?
Heroes, gods.
And then...
Oh, Charlotte, you know what happened then. It is so hard to be absolutely truthful.
Don't be troubled, dearest. Wait till you are calmer. We'll talk about it before bedtime in my room.
Yes. Oh, yes. And then at last I shall understand myself. I shan't again be troubled by things that come out of nothing and mean I know not what.
Now I shall give a good brush to your hair.
Thank you. Charlotte.
Yes, dear?
When Miss Allen asked me after dinner if I would play and I refused, I wasn't too ungracious, was I?
Far from it.
Music suddenly seemed a childish occupation.
Did it, dearest? Yes, I dare say. So, what is to be done?
Done?
Yes, dear. A point which you alone can settle.
It has been raining for nearly 4 hours.
How do you propose to silence him?
The driver.
No, my dear. Mr. George Emerson.
I don't understand.
How are you going to stop him talking about what occurred?
I have a feeling that talk is a thing he will never do.
I, too, intend to judge him charitably, but unfortunately, I have met the type before. They seldom keep their exploits to themselves.
Exploits?
My dear child, do you suppose that this was his first?
Oh.
I am no prude. There is no need to call him a wicked young man, but he is obviously thoroughly unrefined. Put it down to his deplorable antecedents and education, if you wish. But we are no further on with our question. What do you propose to do?
I propose to speak to him.
Oh? No.
Charlotte, I shall never forget your kindness. But as you said, it is my affair, mine and his.
I see. And are you going to implore him, to beg him to keep silent?
Oh, certainly not. There will be no difficulty. Whatever you ask him, he answers yes or no. Then it is over.
I fear for you, my dear. You are so young and inexperienced. You cannot realize how men can be, how they can take a brutal pleasure in insulting a woman. This afternoon, for instance, if I had not arrived, what would have happened?
I can't think.
When he insulted you, how would you have replied?
I hadn't time to think. You came.
Yes, but if I hadn't, what would you have done?
I should have...
Oh, for a real man to turn to. Mr. Beebe is hopeless. That is Mr. Eager, but you do not trust him. Oh, for your brother. He is young, but I know that his sister's insult would rouse in him a very lion. Thank God, chivalry is not dead. There are still left some men who can reverence women. It will be a push to catch the morning train, but we must try.
What train?
The train to Rome. Your mother told us in her letter at what hotel the Vizes stay. We shall join them there and be much more comfortable. Dearest Lucy, how will you ever forgive me?
Charlotte, dear, what do you mean? I have nothing to forgive you for.
You have a great deal. And I have a very great deal to forgive myself, too. I know well how much I vex you at every turn.
But no.
But yes, you want someone younger and stronger and more in sympathy with you.
You mustn't say these things.
I have been a failure. Failed to make you happy, failed in my duty to your mother. She has been so generous to me. I shall never be able to face her again after this disaster.
But she will understand. It's not your fault, this trouble. And it isn't a disaster, either.
It is my fault, and it is a disaster. What right had I to make friends with Miss Lavish when I was here for your sake? If I have vexed you, it is equally true that I have neglected you. Your mother will see that as clearly as I do when you tell her.
Why need Mother hear of anything?
But you tell her everything.
I suppose I do generally.
Unless you feel it is something that you would prefer not to tell her?
Naturally, I should have told her. But in case she should blame you in any way, I promise I will not. I will never speak of it either to her or to anyone.
You are too good to me. Oh, well, high time for Bedfordshire. Get all the rest you can, my dear. We have an early train.
Oh, room with a view, what have you brought me to? One thing is for sure, I have been taken advantage of, and not, I think, by Mr. Emerson alone. Him I cannot judge, but Charlotte. She has worked on my sincerity and on the sympathy and love I needed. I shall not easily forget it. For in the end, what does she hold out to me? A cheerless, loveless world in which the young rush to destruction until they learn better. A shame-faced world of precautions and barriers, which may avert evil, but do not seem to bring good. That must be... Yes, it's him.
Oh. Mr. Emerson!
Oh, Charlotte. Oh, no, it's my affair.
Mr. Emerson, before you retire, I wish one word with you downstairs in the drawing room, if you please.
Of course, Miss Butler.
No, it isn't true. It can't all be true. I want not to be muddled. I want to grow old quickly.
In part two of A Room with a View by E.M. Forster, dramatized in four parts by David Wade, Kathy Sarah played Lucy Honeychurch, Sheila Hancock, Charlotte Bartlett, Barbara Jefford, Miss Lavish, Stephen Moore, Mr. Beeb, David Collings, Mr. Eager, John Moffat, Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady, George Emerson, and Andrew Branch, Theatre. The pianist was Terence Albright. A Room with a View is directed by Glyn Dearman. A View by E.M. Forster, dramatized in four parts by David Wade, with Julia McKenzie as Mrs. Honeychurch, Sheila Hancock as Charlotte Bartlett, Stephen Moore as Mr. Beeb, John Moffat as Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady as George Emerson, Nathaniel Parker as Cecil Vyse, and Kathy Sarah as Lucy Honeychurch. Part three, A Proposal and a Bathing Party.
At Windy Corner, Summer Street, August the 3rd, 1905. Is it possible that I have been home a mere 10 days? It is as if it were forever, and all those months in Italy seem no more than a week, a distant memory. Rome,
where Charlotte was so very irritating, and where we met the Vizes, Cecil and his mother. The Italian Alps, where we met the Vizes again. The Vizes. Cecil asked me to marry him in Rome and in the Alps. I turned him down in both. I've left out Florence. Why have I done that? Florence. Mr. Emerson. George. Banks of violets. Blue as blue.
Miss Honeychurch.
Mr. Emerson.
Lucy.
Mr. Emerson.
No. No, he insulted me. Acted like a cat. Never think of him again. A week ago, Cecil came to stay, and this afternoon...
They're still there.
Who's still where?
Cecil and your sister, on the terrace. As if you didn't know.
Mother, I can't think why you make a fuss about keeping the sunlight off the new carpet when you go peeping through the curtains and letting it all in. You oughtn't to be peeping anyway.
Can't I look out of my own drawing room? If you were attending to your Grey's Anatomy, Freddy, dear, you wouldn't notice.
I am attending to it.
I think things are coming to a head.
Time they did.
I'm glad that Cecil's asking her again.
It's his third go, isn't it?
Freddy, that is unkind.
I didn't mean to be, but I do think Lucy might have got this off her chest in Italy. She can't have said no properly, or she wouldn't have to say it again now.
Just listen to what I have written to Mrs. Vice. Dear Mrs. Vice...
Yes, Mother, you told me. A jolly good letter.
Dear Mrs. Vice, Cecil has just asked my permission about it, and I should be delighted if Lucy wishes it. But I was rather amused at Cecil asking my permission. He has always gone in for the unconventional, but when it comes to the point, he can't get on without parental permission.
Nor mine.
Yours?
He asked my permission, too.
How very odd.
Why? Why shouldn't my permission be asked?
What do you know about Lucy or girls or anything? Whatever did you say?
I said, take her or leave her, it's no business of mine.
What a helpful answer.
The bother is...
The bother is what?
I rather put my foot in it with Cecil.
Oh, yes.
Not content with my permission, he also wanted to know whether I wasn't off my head with joy. Wasn't it a splendid thing for Lucy and for Windy Corner in general if he married her?
I hope you gave a careful answer, dear.
I answered no. There, fly into a stew. I had to say it. He ought never to have asked me.
Ridiculous child. You think you're so holy and truthful, but it's really only abominable conceit. Do you suppose a man like Cecil would take the slightest notice of anything you say? I hope he boxed your ears. How dare you say no?
Oh, don't go on, Mother. Let a man do some work.
But I shall go on. You know perfectly well what passed between them in Rome, and you know why he is down here, and yet you deliberately insult him.
Not a bit. I only let out I didn't like him.
Oh, well, I like him. He's good, he's clever, he's rich, he's well-connected, and I know his mother. Don't make that face, Freddy. And he has beautiful manners.
I liked him till now. I suppose it's having him spoiling Lucy's first week back at home. And it's also something that Mr. Beebe said.
Where does Mr. Beebe come into this?
Well, you know his funny way. You never quite know what he means. He said, Mr. Vives is an ideal bachelor. And when I asked him what he meant, he said, oh, he's like me, better detached. I couldn't make him say any more, but it set me thinking. Cecil hasn't been nearly so pleasant since he came after Lucy.
The trouble is you're jealous of him, because he may stop Lucy knitting you silk ties.
Mother.
Take my word. Now then, my letter. Where was I? Yes. Should be delighted if Lucy wishes it, and I have told her so. But Lucy seems uncertain, and in these days young people must decide for themselves. I said that because I didn't want Mrs. Vise to think us old-fashioned. She goes in for lectures and improving her mind, but all the time there's a thick layer of dust under the beds. She keeps that flat abominably.
Look out!
Cecil, do tell us...
I promessi sposi.
she has accepted me.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Congratulations.
Welcome as one of the family. Oh, this is indeed a joyous day. I feel sure that you will make dear Lucy happy.
I hope so. Oh,
we mothers, something, well, not at all, or what? But where is Lucy? Why is she not with you?
Why, indeed. I say, Lucy!
Come in!
Lucy, dearest!
Well, Mother... Oh, Freddy, dear.
I say, steady on.
Oh, no kiss for me.
Of course.
Lucy, why didn't you take them into the garden and tell them about it? While I write a letter to my mother.
Yes. Come on, come on, both of you.
So much planning, my dear.
My dear mother, I have taken your good counsel and have again asked Lucy Honeychurch to marry me. This time she has consented. I hope that you will be as pleased as I. Even here, at Windy Corner, even in this drawing room, which, with its perfect view, ought to be successful, except that Messrs. Maple's furniture has set a blight upon it, even here she reminds me, as she did in Italy, of a Leonardo. In a different setting, separated from her mother and brother, both of them, I fear, the work of lesser schools, it is Da Vinci who must prevail. You will understand me when I say that at this moment, the three of them are in the kitchen garden, where, in this family, colloquia invariably take place. There, in the presence of the potatoes and the peas, Lucy is regaling them. Come in. Yes, Anne?
Mr. Beebe, sir.
Mr. Fies, I've come for tea. Do you suppose that I shall get it?
Well, I should say so. Food is the one thing one does get here. Oh, don't sit in that chair. Oh. Young Honeychurch has left a bone in it.
Oh,
I know. I can't think why Mrs. Honeychurch allows it.
I've come for tea and gossip and news.
News? Well, you can hardly be referring to
I met
that...
Sir Harry Otway as I came up. He has bought Sissy and Albert from Mr. Fleck.
Who are Sissy and Albert?
Unpardonable question. To have stopped a week at Windy Corner and not to have met Sissy and Albert? They are the semi-detached villas which, to general dismay, Mr. Fleck, the builder, has run up opposite the church.
I am shockingly stupid over local affairs. It is very remiss of me, I know, but Italy and London are the only places where I don't feel I exist on sufferance.
Mr. Vyse, I forget. What is your profession?
I have no profession. It is another example of my decadence. I know I ought to be getting money out of people or devoting myself to things I don't care about, but somehow I've not been able to begin.
You are very fortunate. It is a wonderful opportunity, the possession of leisure.
I'm glad you approve. Not all understand. For example, Freddy Honeychurch.
Oh, Freddy's a good sort, isn't he?
Admirable. The sort who has made England what she is.
But where are the others?
Out in the garden.
I insist on extracting tea before the evening service.
I don't suppose Anne told them you were here. It is one of her faults. In this house, one is coached in the faults of the servants. Or the faults of Mary, as
I understand.
I know
the faults of Mary. She leaves the dustpans on the stairs.
And the faults of Freddy.
Ah, he has too many. Try the faults of Miss Honeychurch.
She has none.
I quite agree. At present, she has none.
At present?
I'm not being cynical. I'm only thinking of my pet theory about Miss Honeychurch. Does it seem reasonable that she should play the piano so wonderfully and live so quietly? I suspect that one day she will be wonderful in both.
At present you think her not wonderful as far as living goes.
Well, I've only seen her at Tunbridge Wells, where she was not wonderful, and at Florence. She wasn't wonderful in Florence either, but I kept expecting that she would be.
In what way?
I could as easily tell you what tune she'll play next. I can show you a beautiful picture in my Italian diary. Miss Honeychurch as a kite. Miss Bartlett holding the string. Picture number two, the string breaks.
But the string never broke.
Not that I know of.
It has broken now.
Broken? What do you mean?
I mean that Miss Honeychurch is going to marry me.
I'm sorry. I must apologize.
Apologize?
I had no idea you were intimate with her, or I should never have talked in such a flippant, superficial way. Mr. Vyse, you ought to have stopped me.
I am sorry I have given you a shock. I fear that Lucy's choice does not meet with your approval.
Not that, but you ought to have stopped me.
You are conscious of having said something indiscreet?
No, I have said nothing indiscreet. I foresaw at Florence that her quiet, uneventful childhood must end, and it has ended. She has learned what it is to love. She has learnt it through you. Let it be your care that her knowledge is profitable to her.
Grazie tante.
Mr. Bean!
Mrs. Honeychurch, Miss Honeychurch, Freddy! Good afternoon.
Have you heard? Has Mr. Vyse told you?
Indeed, he has. Miss Honeychurch, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, but generally I'm too shy. I want to invoke every kind of blessing on you, grave and gay, great and small. I want you, all your lives, to be supremely good and supremely happy as husband and wife, as father and mother.
Thank you, Mr. Beebe.
And now I want my tea.
You asked for it just in time. How dare you be serious at Windy Corner? Cecil, we were saying just now that as you are to be one of the family, we must instantly display you to the neighbourhood.
Goodbye, Miss Honeychurch. It was so good of you to grace my little garden party.
Mrs. Phipps, it was delightful.
And Mr. Vyse, what a pleasure it has been to make your acquaintance.
Very good of you to say so.
I do wish you every happiness. Dear Mrs. Honeychurch, I must congratulate you on your future son-in-law. Such a very distinguished young man. I doubt if Summer Street can quite live up to him.
Do you do much of that sort of thing, Lucy?
Oh, now and then.
Is it typical of county society?
I suppose so. Mother, is it?
Oh, yes. Plenty of society.
Mother is in a dream.
It seemed to me perfectly appalling. Disastrous.
You did get rather stranded with the dowagers.
I don't mean that, but the congratulations. It's so disgusting the way an engagement is regarded as public property, where every outsider may shoot his vulgar sentiment. All those old women smirking.
I agree, it's tiresome. Why didn't you escape to tennis?
I don't play tennis. At least not in public. The neighbourhood can be deprived of the romance of me being athletic. Such romance as I have is that of the Inglese Italianato.
Inglese Italianato?
Eum diavolo incarnato. You know the proverb?
No.
I mean, I cannot help it if they disapprove of me. There are certain barriers between myself and them, and I must accept those barriers.
We all have our limitations, I suppose.
It certainly makes a difference, though, whether we fence ourselves in or whether we are fenced out by the barriers of others.
Yes. Yes, it does. But I can tell you who has no fences, as you call them, and that's Mr. Beebe.
A parson fenceless would mean a parson defenceless.
Oh, don't you like Mr. Beebe?
I never said so. I consider him far above the average.
Now, a person that I do hate, a person that does have fences, and the most dreadful ones, is Mr. Eager, the English chaplain at Florence.
Lucy, dear, what can this Mr. Eager possibly have done to earn such terrible displeasure?
He was insincere. He was a snob, and he was conceited, and he said such unkind things.
What sort of things?
There was an old man at the Bertolini who Mr. Eager said had murdered his wife.
Perhaps he had.
No.
You seem very certain.
He was such a nice old man.
Well, I
did try to get to the bottom of the thing, but Mr. Eager would never come to the point. He said the old man had practically murdered his wife and had done so in the sight of God. But isn't it intolerable that a person who we're told to imitate should go round spreading slander? I believe it was chiefly owing to Mr. Eager that the old man was dropped by everyone.
What was this man's name?
Harris.
Is Mr. Eager a cultured type of parson?
I've no idea, but nothing can hide his petty nature. I hate him.
Miss Gracious Child, you'll blow our heads off. I forbid you and Cecil to hate any more clergymen.
Let us take your mother's advice and hate clergymen no more, Lucy. What's this place?
Summer Street, of course.
Oh, look. There are Sissy and Albert. Aren't they absolutely hideous?
How could Mr. Flack have built two such monstrosities? Summer Street will never be the same again.
And there's Sir Harry Otway. Powell, stop a minute. Sir Harry! You must pull those things down instantly.
Mrs. Honeychurch, I mayn't so. Why else do you think of Bolton? But Mr. Flack had already installed his aunt in Albert.
She ought to have gone before the contract was signed.
I know, but now what can I do? An old lady almost bedridden, and so very vulgar.
Turn her out.
You know, and the only option is to find a truly desirable tenant for Sissy. The rent is absurdly low, but it is an awkward size. Too large for the peasant class, too small for anyone, at least like ourselves.
Sir Harry, I have an idea. How would you like two spinsters for Sissy?
My dear Lucy, Miss Plendon.
There are a couple I met abroad.
Gentlewomen?
Yes, indeed, and at present homeless. I heard from them last week, Miss Catherine and Miss Teresa Allen. They are quite the right people. Mr. Beebe knows them too. May I tell them to write to you?
Indeed you may. Here we are with the difficulty solved already. How delightful it is.
My advice, Sir Harry, is to have nothing to do with Lucy and her decayed spinsters. I know the type.
The Miss Allens aren't like that.
I haven't met them, but I should say they were a highly unsuitable addition to the neighbourhood.
Don't listen to him, Sir Harry.
They are sure to have canaries, Sir Harry. Beware of canaries. Beware of women altogether. Only let to a man.
Come now, Mrs. Honeychurch.
Men don't gossip over teacups. If they get drunk, there's an end of them. They lie down comfortably and sleep it off. If they're vulgar, they somehow keep it to themselves. Give me a man. Provided he's clean, of course.
Quite so. Mrs. Honeychurch, might I suggest you all get down and see poor Sissy for yourself?
Why, I should like nothing better. Domestic arrangements always
Lucy, wait.
Fascinate me, especially when on a small scale.
Mrs. Honeychurch, would you mind if Lucy and I were to leave you and walk home?
Oh, what a good idea.
Young people.
Hopeless vulgarian.
Oh, Cecil.
I can't help it. It would be wrong not to loathe that man.
He isn't clever, but he is nice.
No, Lucy. Sir Harry stands for all that is bad in country life. He is the essence of that garden party. I hope he'll get some really vulgar tenant in that awful villa of his. Gentle folk. Ugh. But let's forget him.
Gladly.
And who else, I wonder, will it be wrong not to loathe? What prevents it being wrong not to loathe Freddy?
What are you thinking?
I was wondering which way to go.
Oh, are there two ways?
The wood or the road? Perhaps the road is more sensible.
Well, I'd rather go through the wood. Why is it, Lucy, that whenever we go for a walk, you choose the road? You've never once been with me in the fields or the woods since we were engaged.
Haven't I? The woods, then. Come along.
I have the idea, I dare say, wrongly, that you feel more at home with me in a room.
A room?
Yes, or in a garden, or on a road. Never in the real country.
Do you know, you're right. When I think of you, it's always in a room. How funny.
In a drawing room. One with no view, I fancy.
Yes, with no view. Why not?
I'd rather that you connected me with the open air.
Cecil, whatever do you mean? Oh, look, the sacred lake.
A puddle? Why do you call it that?
I can't remember, but it's not a puddle after it's been raining. Freddie used to bathe here.
And you?
I bathed here too till I was found out. Then there was a row.
Who found you out?
Charlotte.
You poor girl. Lucy?
I suppose we ought to be going.
Lucy, I want to ask you something I've not asked you before.
What is it, Cecil?
Well, hitherto, never, not even on the day when you agreed to marry me.
Yes?
Well, up to now, I have never kissed you.
No more you have.
Then, may I?
Of course you may, Cecil. You might have before. Not through my veil, however.
No.
Oh!
I'm so sorry. My pants may.
Emerson was his name.
Whose name?
The old man. The one I told you about whom Mr. Eager was so unkind to. It was Emerson, not Harris.
They really are coming, you know.
I'm sorry, Mr. B, but who are coming?
The Miss Allens. I heard from...
Gotcha!
Oh, Freddy, you are a brute!
My point, my game, my set.
Freddy, that doesn't count.
What's wrong with it?
You were using the ball that's coming to pieces. Nobody can play with that.
If I can serve it, Lucy can hit it.
Nonsense, it doesn't count.
Oh, very well.
You were saying, Mr. Beam.
The Miss Allens are definitely coming to live in Summer Street. I heard from them this morning.
I shall hate them, I know it. Just because they're old and silly, one's expected to say how sweet. I shall hate their iffing and butting and anding. And poor Lucy, serve her right for interfering, will be worn to a shadow.
Oh, I doubt if...
Out! Miles out! Any objections this time, Mother?
No, dear. I will allow that you have won.
Oh, poor old Lucy. Come on, you need a rest.
Oh, put me down! You're tickling me! You're a
There you are. The victor and the vanquished.
I wish the Miss Allens could see this.
Who are the Miss Allens?
They have taken Sissy Villa.
Allen? That wasn't the name.
Wasn't what name?
The name of the people Sir Harry's let the villa to.
Nonsense, Freddy. You know nothing about it.
Nonsense yourself. I saw Sir Harry just this afternoon. He said to me,
Honeychurch, I have at last procured some really desirable tenants.
Exactly, the Miss Allens.
More like Anderson.
Oh, good gracious, there isn't going to be another muddle, is there? I said don't interfere with Sissy Villa, Lucy, and I'm always right. In fact, I'm quite uneasy at always being right so often.
Oh, don't worry, Mother, it's another muddle of Freddy's. He doesn't know the name of the people.
Yes, I do. I've got it. Emerson.
What?
Emerson. I'll bet you anything you like.
What a weathercock Sir Harry is. I wish I had never bothered after all.
Emerson? Freddy, do you know what Emersons they are?
Emerson's a common enough name.
You can set your mind at rest, Mother. They're friends of Cecil. So you and the other county families will be able to call in perfect safety.
Cecil? Freddy, don't be rude. And Lucy, please don't screech.
But Cecil's Emersons can't possibly... be the same as...
The Emersons who were in Florence, you mean? No, no, it is a long cry from them to any friends of Mr. Vyse. Mrs. Honeychurch, the oddest people. There was a great scene over some violets. They picked
Freddy,
violets and filled all the vases in the room of
in the smoking room when I last saw him.
Thank you.
To Sissy Villa. Yes, I always connect those Florentine Emersons with violets.
Cecil.
Ah, Lucy, there you are. I was hoping you'd come. I have won a great victory for the comic muse. I have found tenants for the distressful Sissy Villa. No, don't be angry. You'll forgive me when you've heard.
I have heard. Freddy told us. You are very naughty, Cecil. Certainly the Miss Allens are a little tiresome, and I'd rather have nice friends of yours, but you oughtn't to tease one so.
Friends of mine? But, Lucy, the whole joke is they're absolute strangers. I came upon them in the National Gallery last week. They were admiring, quite stupidly, of course, Luca Signorelli, or as the old man called it, Signorelli. However, we got talking. Apparently they had been to Italy.
Italy?
And in the course of conversation, they said they had wanted to rent a country cottage, so I thought, what a chance of scoring off Sir Harry!
Cecil, no, it's not fair!
Perfectly fair. Anything that punishes a snob.
No, it is not. You had no business to undo my work about the Miss Allens and make me look ridiculous. You call it scoring off Sir Harry, but you have done it all at my expense!
Phew. Temper. Or snobbery. Or both.
From Miss Charlotte Bartlett, Tunbridge Wells, September. Dearest Lucia, I have news of you at last. Miss Lavish has been bicycling in your parts. Puncturing her tire in Summer Street, she saw to her astonishment a door open and the younger Emerson man come out. He said his father had just taken the house. He said he did not know that you lived in the neighborhood. Dear Lucy, I am much worried, and I advise you to make a clean breast of his past behavior to your mother, Freddy, and Mr. Vise. Mr. Vise is so sensitive. I remember how I used to get on his nerves in Rome. I should not feel easy unless I warned you. Believe me, your anxious and loving cousin.
Beecham Mansions, London, SW. Dear Charlotte, many thanks for your warning. When Mr. Emerson forgot himself on the hillside, you made me promise not to tell Mother because you said she would blame you for not being always with me. I have kept that promise and cannot possibly tell her now. I have said both to her and to Cecil that I met the Emersons in Florence and that they are respectable people, which is what I believe. In fact, they are known to Cecil, who is very well and spoke of you the other day. We expect to be married in January. Miss Lavish cannot have told you much about me, for I am not at Windy Corner at all, but here in London, staying with the Vises. Yours affectionately.
Beautiful. Quite beautiful. You absolutely stunned them after dinner. Did you know that?
Oh, Cecil, Cecil, darling. Oh,
so you do love me, little thing.
Oh, Cecil, I do, I do. I don't know what I should do without you. Oh, I'm tired. Dinner parties wear one out. I must go to bed.
So must I, once I have said good night to Mother.
Lucy is becoming wonderful, quite wonderful, Cecil.
Her music always was wonderful.
Oh, yes. But she's ridding herself of the Honeychurch manner, most excellent though the Honeychurches are. But you know what I mean. She's not always quoting servants or asking one how the pudding is made.
Italy has done that.
Possibly. But, Cecil, be sure you make her one of us.
But, Mother, her music, her style, the way she kept a Schumann. Schumann was so right for this evening. She made her audience throb. Do you know, Mother, I shall have our children educated just like Lucy. Bring them up amongst honest country folk for freshness. Send them to Italy for subtlety.
Just make her one of us, Cecil. Whatever is it? Are you in pain?
No, no, not in pain. I'm so sorry, Mrs. Vise. It's these dreams.
Bad dreams?
Just dreams.
Oh, you should have heard us talking about you, dear. Cecil admires you more than ever. Dream of that.
Well, Freddy, instead of leaning here like rustics on my rectory gate, suppose we go and hinder those new people in the villa for a little.
The Emersons?
They might amuse you.
Come. Do you think we should? I mean, they've only just moved in.
Which is why I suggested we should hinder them. They are worth it. Hello? Hello there! I brought someone to see you.
I'll be down in a minute.
We might as well go in.
What a mess. Are these people great readers? Are they that sort?
Well, they seem to have a lot of books. I fancy they know how to read. A rare accomplishment. What have they got? Byron? A Shropshire Lad? Never heard of it. The Way of All Flesh? Never heard of it. Gibbon? Hello, dear George reads German. Schopenhauer, Nietzsche. Oh.
Mr. Beebe, look at that on the cupboard door.
Oh, ah. Mistrust all enterprises that require new clothes. I like that. I'm certain that's the old man's doing.
How very odd of him.
Well, surely you agree.
I don't know. It seems a shame to paint inscriptions on the furniture.
Now then, pictures. Giotto! They got that in Florence, I'll be bound.
Lucy has the same one.
Oh, did she enjoy her stay in London?
She and Cecil came back yesterday thicker than ever.
Oh, that's good hearing. What on earth are those people doing upstairs? Emerson, we think we'll come another time. Ah, Mr. George, let me introduce Mr. Honeychurch, a neighbour.
How do you do? Come and have a bathe.
Oh, all right.
How do you do? Come and have a bathe? That's the best conversational opening I've heard in a long time. But I'm afraid it will only act between men. Can you picture a lady opening the civilities in such a fashion? And yet people tell me the sexes are equal.
I tell you that they shall be. Good afternoon, Mr. B. I tell you they shall be comrades. And George thinks the same.
We are to raise the ladies to our level, is that it, Mr. Emerson?
The Garden of Eden, which you place in the past, is really yet to come. We shall enter it when we no longer despise our bodies.
I deny placing the Garden of Eden anywhere.
I say, what about this bathe?
Let me introduce Mr. Honeychurch, Mr. Emerson, whose sister you will remember at Florence.
How do you do? Very glad to see you, and that you are taking George for a bathe. I'm very glad to hear that your sister is to marry. Marriage is a duty. I'm sure she will be happy, for we know Mr. Vyse, too. He has been most kind and arranged everything about this delightful house. Yours is a glorious country, Honeychurch.
Not a bit. I must, that is to say, I have to hope to have the pleasure of calling on you later on, my mother says.
Call, my lad? Who taught you that drawing-room twaddle? Call on your grandmother. Listen to the wind among the pines. A glorious country.
No, Mr. Emerson, Mr. Honeychurch will call. I shall call. You or your son will return our calls before 10 days have elapsed. I trust that you've realized about the 10 days interval. It does not count that I helped you with the stare eyes yesterday. It does not count that these two are going to bathe this afternoon.
Yes, go and bathe, George. Why do you dawdle talking? Bring them back to tea. Bring back milk, cakes, honey. The change will do you good. George has been working very hard at his office. I can't believe he's well.
Do you really want this bathe? It's only a pond.
I have said yes already.
Then that's agreed. Why don't I walk with you? Coincidence that you should meet Mr. Vyse. Did you realize that you would find most of the inhabitants of the Pension Bertolini down here?
I did not. Miss Lavish told me.
When I was a young man, I always meant to write a history of coincidence. Though, as a matter of fact, coincidences are much rarer than we suppose. For example, it isn't pure coincidence that you are here now when one comes to reflect.
I have reflected. It is. It is fate. Everything is fate. We're flung together by fate, drawn apart by fate. The 12 winds blow us. We settle nothing.
You have not reflected at all.
I say you two, don't dawdle so.
Let me give you a useful tip, Emerson. Attribute nothing to fate. Don't say, I didn't do this. For 10 to 1, you did. For example, where did you first meet Miss Honeychurch and myself?
In Italy.
And where did you meet Mr. Vyse?
At the National Gallery.
Looking at Italian art. There you are. And yet you talk of fate. You naturally seek out things Italian, and so do we and our friends. This narrows the field immeasurably.
It is fate that I'm here. But you can call it Italy if it makes you less unhappy.
And so, for this and other reasons, my history of coincidence is still to be written. Anyway, we're all so glad you've come.
Here you are at last.
My word, it's warm. Where's the pond?
Through the bracken. I wish it was bigger. At least there'd been some rain.
It's distinctly successful as ponds go.
No apologies are necessary.
Well, strip off, fellows, eh?
Aren't those willow herbs splendid? I love willow herb in seed. What's the name of this aromatic plant?
Not the foggiest idea.
These abrupt changes of vegetation, this little spongous tract of water plants, and on either side of it all, the growths are tough or brittle. Heather, bracken, pines, very charming, very charming.
Aren't you bathing, Mr. Beebe?
Oh, not me. I came purely for the walk.
The water's wonderful.
Water's water.
Two strokes and into the reeds. Two strokes back and into the mud.
Is it worth it?
Come in properly and see. Oh! Oh! Goes down softly. Mr. Beebe, the water's wonderful, simply ripping. The water's not so bad. Oh, wonderful. Mr. Beebe, do come in.
Well, all right. The coast seems clear. Might as well wash too.
I swallowed a polywog. It wriggles in my tummy. I shall die of it.
Here we go.
What do you think, Mr. Beebe?
Glorious.
It's a bit like swimming in a salad.
Very much an idea.
Here, I say you can't get out yet.
Why not?
Because I say so.
Down you go. You asked for it, young Honeychurch.
Right. Emerson's been very quiet. He thinks we haven't noticed him. Look out, Emerson.
Oh, so that's your death. Well, I can play just as well as you.
That's enough of that. Emerson, out you get and I'll race you round the pond.
Done. Hey. Hey, those are my clothes.
I knew they weren't mine.
Put them down.
Catch me then.
Right.
Come on, Emerson.
I nearly got you. And there. Whose clothes are these, I wonder?
Hang on a minute.
I'm a soccer man myself.
Go! Steady on!
Just as well your boat afloat.
Mr. Beebe, you can't duck out of this. Emerson, grab his hat.
No, I say no! Don't do that!
How do I look in this?
It's a perfect fit.
How about this?
Oh!
Ready! That's my best waistcoat. Take care of my watch. Oh, please. Now, that's enough of that now. No more, I say.
Come on, Mr. Beebe. You'll have to catch us.
That will do. Oh, no. Hi. Steady on, fellows. There are people coming. Hi, you fellows. Stop it. Ladies!
What are those extraordinary noises?
Common people of some sort, I should imagine.
Well, they're certainly enjoying themselves.
Mrs. Honeychurch, Lucy, come this way immediately.
Oh, no. Run!
Gracious me. Whoever were those unfortunate people? Oh, my dears, look away. Can that be Mr. B? Whatever can have happened?
Please, do come away.
I fancy he has jumped back into the pond.
There is a way through here.
Oh, Mother, come.
Oh! Here, mind me. I don't want to be trodden on.
Pretty? Gracious me, dear, so it's you. Why not have a comfortable bath at home with hot and cold later on?
Well, look here, Mother, you know. Emerson, you beast, those are my bags you're wearing.
I know. They're wet. You're welcome to them.
Just all of you be sure to dry yourselves thoroughly.
Oh, for goodness sake, Mother, do come away.
Hello, Miss Honeychurch. Mr. Vice.
Whoever is it? Do we know him? Let us not forget our manners. Bow, Lucy, better bow.
And I bowed to George Emerson, just the way I had rehearsed it in my imagination. But that was always here in our house. Here I had what I would say to him prepared, and he would be shy or morbid or indifferent or impudent in a furtive sort of a way. Instead of which, this afternoon, it's somewhere absolutely unexpected, and he's smiling and he greets me with a great hello, bright as the morning star. Oh, how impossible it is to rehearse life.
Lucy, dear, is anything the matter with Cecil?
No, Mother, I don't think so. Cecil's all right.
Perhaps he's tired?
He might be, I suppose.
Because otherwise I cannot account for his manner when we took tea, when we finally took tea with Mrs. Butterworth this afternoon.
I do think Mrs. Butterworth is rather tiresome.
Cecil has told you to think that. You were devoted to her as a little girl, and nothing will describe her goodness to you through the typhoid fever. Surely he could have been civil to her for half an hour.
Cecil sets very high standards for people. It's part of his ideals. It is that which makes him sometimes...
Oh, rubbish. If high ideals make a young man rude, the sooner he gets rid of them, the better.
Now, Mother, I've seen you cross with Mrs. Butterworth.
Not in that way. At times I could wring her neck, but not in that way, no. It is the same with Cecil all over.
Oh, and by the by, I had a letter from Charlotte while I was in London.
How interesting, but I am talking about Cecil. Since he came back from London, nothing appears to please him. Whenever I speak, he winces.
Mother!
I see him, Lucy. It is useless to contradict me. No doubt I am neither artistic nor literary, nor intellectual nor musical, but I cannot help this drawing-room furniture. Your father bought it, and we must put up with it. Will Cecil kindly remember?
I'm sure he doesn't mean to be uncivil. It is things that upset him. He is not uncivil to people.
Is Freddy's singing a thing or a person?
You can't expect a really musical person to enjoy comic songs as we do.
Then why doesn't he leave the room? Why sit wriggling and sneering and spoiling everyone's pleasure?
We mustn't be unjust to others.
No, we mustn't. Well, I'm going to dress for dinner. And you had better do the same or you'll be late.
Oh, dear, what shall I do? Why did I mention Charlotte's letter? I advise you to make a clean breast to your mother. What if she asks to see it?
I say, those are topping people, Emerson and Mr. Bede.
Oh, Freddy, my dear baby, how tiresome you've been. You had no business to take them bathing in the sacred lake. It's much too public. It was all right for you, but most awkward for everyone else.
Sorry, old girl. I say, is anything on tomorrow week?
Not that I know of.
Then I want to ask the Emersons up for Sunday tennis.
Oh, I wouldn't do that, Freddy. Not with all this muddle.
They won't mind a bump or two on the court. And I've ordered new balls.
I mean, it's better not. I really mean that, Freddy.
What you really mean is you're in a frightful dump. Come on, dance with me.
Oh.
I'll cheer you up.
Oh, Freddy, dee, 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 dee. No,
jump,
you
jump.
Freddy, what a noise you're making. Freddy, shouldn't you be getting dressed?
Sorry, Mother.
Dear, did you say you had a letter from Charlotte?
Yes, I really can't stop. I have to dress.
Lucy?
Yes, Mother.
You've a bad habit of hurrying away in the middle of one's sentences. Did Charlotte mention her boiler?
Her what?
Well, don't you remember? Her boiler was to be had out in October, and all kinds of terrible to-doing.
I can't remember all Charlotte's worries, Mother. I have enough of my own now that you are not pleased with Cecil.
No. Come here, old lady. Kiss me.
Oh, Mother.
There we are. Now run along and dress.
Lucy, what's Emerson like? Is he the clever sort or a decent chap?
Ask Cecil. It was Cecil who brought him here.
He's the clever sort, like myself.
How well did you and Charlotte know them at the Bertolini, Lucy?
Oh, very slightly. Charlotte knew them even less than I did.
Oh, that reminds me, you never told me what Charlotte said in her letter. How is she?
I tore it up.
Didn't she say how she was? How does she sound? Cheerful?
Yes, I suppose so. No, not very cheerful, I suppose.
Then depend upon it, it is the boiler. I know myself how water preys upon the mind. I have been thinking. Surely we could ask poor Charlotte here next week and give her a nice holiday while the plumbers are at Tunbridge Wells.
Mother, no! We're squeezed to death as it is. Freddy's got Mr. Floyd coming on Tuesday, the Cecil, and you've promised to take Mr. Beebe's niece because of the diphtheria scare.
Oh, don't say Minnie Beebe is coming. Oh,
yes, she is. Mother, it simply can't be done.
Nonsense, it can.
Only if Minnie Beebe sleeps in the bath.
Minnie can sleep with you.
I won't have her.
The truth is, dear, you don't like Charlotte.
No, I don't, and no more does Cecil.
Here, here.
She gets on our nerves.
That isn't very kind of you two. You have each other and these woods to walk in, full of beautiful things. Well, poor Charlotte only has the water turned off and plumbers.
I must say, Cousin Charlotte was very kind to me that year I went to see her on my bike. She kept on thanking me for coming until I began to feel a fool and fussed around no end getting an egg boiled just right for my tea.
Well, Charlotte is kind to everyone. And yet Lucy makes this difficulty because we try to give her some little return.
I can't help it, Mother. I don't like Charlotte. I know it's horrid of me.
From your own account, you told her as much.
Well, she wouldn't leave Florence so stupidly. She flurried. She fled.
Yes, fled the ghosts which follow me. Oh, the blue of the violets, golden sky, and... Oh, memories, leave me alone.
Flurried? Fled? What do you mean?
I don't really know.
Well, I suppose Miss Bartlett must come, since she boils an egg so well.
I didn't mean the egg was well boiled, because in point of fact, she forgot to take it off.
Hey-ho. May me and Lucy get down from our chairs, Mrs. Honeychurch? We don't want no dessert.
By all means, Cecil. And tomorrow I shall write to Charlotte and invite her for the following week.
I shall never forgive myself. I have upset everything.
If she says that once again, I'll throttle her.
Cecil, please.
Cousin Charlotte, honestly, you've done nothing of the sort.
It's good of you to say so, Freddy, but I have. I have deprived you of your tennis game with Mr. Lloyd.
His name is Mr. Floyd. He already said...
Oh. Minnie Beebe, where are your manners?
No, the child is perfectly right to correct me. You see, Freddy, I can't even give your friend his proper name. What will you think of me, young man?
Oh, well, that's all right, Miss Bartlett. I don't mind. People often call me worse than that.
And then, as if that weren't enough, your mother driving specially to meet me at the Southeastern Station and I arriving at the London and Brighton. How could I have been so foolish? What shall I say to her when she returns? But I insist on paying for my cab. Grant me that, at any rate.
Our visitors never do any such thing.
I do not feel myself an ordinary visitor. I insist. How much did you pay, Freddy?
All right, if you'd really rather. 5 shillings and a bob to the driver.
Very well. Oh, I fear I have nothing but pennies and sovereigns.
I've got 50p. And I've got 4 half-crowns.
That makes £1, but who am I to give the sovereign to?
Freddy, I'll toss you for it.
Good idea.
No, please. I know I'm a sad spoil sport, but I should practically be robbing the one who lost.
Freddy owes me 15 shillings, so it'll work out right if you give the sovereign to me, Miss Bartlett.
How is that, Mr. Vine?
Because Freddy paid for your cab. Give me the sovereign, and we shall avoid this deplorable gambling.
Oh. Look, I'm afraid I have no head for figures, but I'm sure you're right. There.
But it isn't right, Miss Bartlett. If Freddy only owes Mr. Vise 15 shillings, why give him £1?
Because, little Minnie, the 15 shillings and the five...
15 and 5...
make £1.
I know, but I still don't see... Was Freddy paid the cab, not Mr. Vine?
Have another piece of cake, Minnie.
Yes, have 2 more pieces of cake, Minnie.
No, thank you, I'm full.
Oh, this is ridiculous. Charlotte, dear, these horrid men are teasing you, and Minnie is perfectly right. Cecil, give the sovereign to me, and I'll get Cook to change it. 2 half-crowns.
Lucy, there you are. I did so want a moment with you. Have you told anyone about him yet?
No, I haven't. I promised you I shouldn't. Here is your money, mostly shillings, I'm afraid.
Thank you, dear. But, oh, how dreadful if Mr. Vi should come to hear of it from some other source.
Oh, Charlotte, George Emerson is all right. And what other source is there?
There is always the driver.
How could a Florentine cab driver ever get hold of Cecil?
We must think of every possibility. Perhaps old Mr. Emerson knows.
I don't care if he does. Even if the news does get round, I think I can trust Cecil to laugh at it.
Very well, dear. You know best. Perhaps gentlemen are different to what they were when I was young. Ladies certainly are.
Charlotte, what would you have me do? First you say don't tell, then you say tell. Which is it to be?
I fear I am no match for you in conversation.
Why don't we go outside again? I think the boys are murdering Minnie, and Cecil can't be counted on to rescue her.
One moment, Lucy. We may not get this chance again. Have you seen the young Mr. Emerson yet?
Yes, I have.
How often?
Twice. Once when we were out walking, and last week there was a tea party at the rectory.
What happened?
Nothing.
What line is he taking with you?
No line. We chatted about Italy with Mr. Beebe, who rather likes him. Charlotte, it really is all right. What advantage would he get from being a cad?
Once a cad, always a cad. That is my poor opinion.
Listen, Charlotte. What I think happened is that Mr. Emerson lost his head. I fell into those violets and he was silly and surprised. I don't think we ought to blame him too much. It makes such a difference when you see a person unexpectedly in beautiful surroundings. It really does. And he lost his head. He doesn't admire me or any of that nonsense. Freddy likes him and has asked him up on Sunday, so you can judge for yourself.
Oh, dear.
He has improved. He doesn't always look as if he were going to burst into tears. He is a clerk with one of the big railways, not a porter, as Miss Lavish said. And he comes down here to his father for weekends. His father was to do with journalism, but has retired. There.
Well, it all sounds perfectly respectable, but...
Charlotte, we want you to have a nice, restful visit to Windy Corner with no worriting. So suppose we don't talk about that silly Italian business any more. No, nor think about it either.
In Part 3 of A Room with a View by E.M. Forster, dramatized in 4 parts by David Wade, Kathy Sarah played Lucy Honeychurch, Gary Cady, George Emerson, Julia McKenzie, Mrs. Honeychurch, Roger May, Freddie Honeychurch, Nathaniel Parker, Cecil Vise, Stephen Moore, Mr. Beebe, Sheila Hancock, Charlotte Bartlett, and John Moffat, Mr. Emerson. Mrs. Phipps was played by Tessa Worsley, Sir Harry Otway by Derek Waring, Mrs. Vise by Pauline Letts, Minnie Beebe by Sarah Jane Derrick, and Mr. Floyd by Jonathan Keeble. The pianist was Terence Albright. A Room with a View is directed by Glyn Dearman. The View by E.M. Forster, dramatized in 4 parts by David Wade, with Sheila Hancock as Charlotte Bartlett, Julia McKenzie as Mrs. Honeychurch, Stephen Moore as Mr. Beebe, John Moffat as Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady as George Emerson, Nathaniel Parker as Cecil Vise, and Kathy Sarah as Lucy Honeychurch. Part 4, The Triumph of Phaeton. Thank you.
Sunday. This morning, all we women went to church, the men refusing utterly. The men. Cecil. Is it really true that I'm to marry him? A man who has to ask to kiss me? A man who brings the Emersons to live in Summer Street just as a spiteful joke? What am I doing? I don't feel easy with his mother, nor with his London friends. Oh, what a week it's been! That business by the sacred lake, Freddy, George, and Mr. Beebe, all bathing, not a stitch between them. Cecil shocked, and Mother wouldn't come away. Well, there's another thing. Cecil doesn't like my mother, and she knows it. And now, on top of everything, Charlotte's here, and worriting about George Emerson. Have I told anyone about him? What if anyone finds out? Anyway, Sunday, church. Charlotte typically was late, and Minnie Beebe reluctant. And afterwards... Oh, afterwards...
Mr. Beebe, such a very thoughtful sermon.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Beebe.
Thank you, ladies.
Oh, my goodness. What a line of carriages. We shall wait all day for ours. Let us walk to it across the green. Where's Charlotte gone? Examining gravestones. Oh, well, no doubt she'll follow us. Come, Minnie. Lucy?
Yes, Mother.
May I run and get into the carriage?
Yes, Minnie, if you must.
Oh, there are the Emersons outside that awful villa.
Introduce me, Lucy. Unless the young man considers that he knows me already.
Good morning, Mr. Emerson.
Miss Honeychurch. No. There's a nice surprise.
Do let me introduce you to my mother.
I'm very pleased to make your acquaintance, Mr. Emerson. Both of you, I mean.
Thank you, Mrs. Honeychurch, and I'm perfectly delighted to make yours. Miss Honeychurch, I'm so glad you're to be married.
Oh, yes. I'm very glad as well. Naturally. How do you like your new house?
We like it very much. Although we find that the Miss Allens were due to take it, and that we have turned them out.
I believe there was some misunderstanding.
We are very much upset about it, aren't we, George?
You are, Father.
I wonder whether we ought to write to them and offer to give it up. What do you think, Miss Honeychurch?
Oh, stop now you've come.
That's what George says. He says the Miss Allens must go to the wall. Yet it does seem unkind.
There's only a certain amount of kindness in the world.
Yes, that's exactly what I say. Why all this twiddling and twaddling over two Miss Allens?
There's a certain amount of kindness, just as there's a certain amount of light. We cast a shadow on something wherever we stand, and it's no good moving from place to place, because the shadow always follows.
Oh, Mr. Emerson, I see you're clever.
I
hope you didn't behave like that to poor Freddy by the sacred lake.
No, I didn't. He behaved that way to me. It is his philosophy. Only he starts life with it. I have tried the note of interrogation first.
What do you mean? No, never mind what you mean. Freddy looks forward to seeing you this afternoon. Do you play tennis? Do you mind tennis on Sunday?
Oh, George, mind tennis on Sunday.
Very well. George doesn't mind tennis on a Sunday. No more do I. That's settled.
Oh, Marianne, I do so hope I haven't kept you waiting.
Oh, Charlotte, there you are. You know our cousin, Miss Bartlett, I believe?
Yes, indeed. We met in Florence. How do you do, Miss Bartlett?
Quite well, thank you, Mr. Emerson.
I'll come up to tennis if I can manage it. Excuse me.
Oh, George, don't go. He's been in such good spirits today. I'm sure he will come this afternoon.
Yes, I do hope he will.
Yes, indeed.
You see, Charlotte, he has not told his father anything. So now you really can stop worriting. That's enough of that.
Oh. Now then, who's for tennis? Cecil? Floyd?
Well, you can't rush out to tennis so soon after luncheon. You'll be sick. Besides, young Mr. Emerson has not arrived. Lucy, play some more, please.
Very well. What would you like?
We leave it entirely to you.
Well, some Gluck, perhaps. Our mead. We saw it before I went to Italy, Mother. Do you remember?
No, dear, but I may do once you start.
Well, lunch turned out to be a cheerful meal, neither Cecil or Charlotte needing to be soothed, and no voice whispering to my soul, "It will not last, this cheerfulness. You must marry. Go to London." Today I feel as if I'd had a guarantee. The sun will never hide behind the western hills. My mother will sit there forever. Freddie will...
Minnie, dear, don't fidget.
Sorry. Our mead is not a great success, I fear. Quite right. It isn't meant for the piano.
Why don't you play us the Flower Maidens from Parsifal?
Oh, later, perhaps.
Not very dutiful, Lucy.
Oh, Cecil, I didn't mean... Mr. Emerson, you've arrived. I had no idea.
Mr. Emerson, do please come in. Don't stand by the window like a flamingo.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh.
After all.
Oh, I'm so sorry I don't see Mabel. My fingers won't... Oh!
I vote for tennis.
So do I. I vote you have a men's four.
Not for me, thank you.
Oh, come along, Cecil. I'm bad. Floyd's rotten, and so I dare say is Emerson.
Well, I'm not bad.
Then I certainly won't play.
In that case, it will have to be Lucy. Go and change your frock, dear.
40-50. Well served, Emerson.
Never mind, Mr. Floyd. No one could have returned that.
I say, this is truly the most awful novel I've ever read. 3 split infinitives in a row. Lucy, do listen.
I can't. I'm playing tennis. Or trying to.
Are you ready, Miss Honeychurch?
Yes. Oh, dear, he serves so fast, he really wants to win.
3 split infinitives. Imagine.
Oh, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Floyd.
Game and set.
I'm so sorry.
Honestly, it doesn't matter in the least. I don't expect to win. Well done, Honeychurch.
It was Emerson's doing, really.
Well done, Emerson.
Why don't we all sit down?
Oh, yes, sit down, do, please, and let me read to you. It really is incredibly bad. This is a murder scene.
I think I'd better find the balls we knocked into the shrubbery.
Hold on, Honeychurch, I'll give you a hand.
Why didn't they stay? Ah, well, the setting is Florence.
What fun, Cecil. Read away. Mr. Emerson, come and rest after all your energy.
All right.
And you? Are you tired?
Of course I'm not.
Do you mind being beaten?
Yes, I do. I don't see that you're such a splendid player, though.
I never said I was.
You did?
You didn't attend.
Oh, never mind. We don't go in for accuracy in this house. We all exaggerate and we get very angry with people who don't.
The scene is Florence.
Oh, yes, of course.
Sunset. Leonora was speeding across...
Is she the heroine? Who's the book by?
Joseph Emery Prank. Sunset. Leonora was speeding across the square. Pray the saint she might not arrive too late. Under Orgagna's loggia...
Loggia? That's not Joseph Emery Prank, it's Miss Lavish. Eleanor, Leonora, it's hers, and she's written it under someone else's name.
Who may Miss Lavish be?
Oh, a dreadful person. Mr. Emerson, you remember Miss Lavish at Florence?
Of course I do. And I saw her the day I arrived in Summer Street. It was she told me you lived here.
Won't you please? To see her, I mean. Well, no wonder the novel's bad.
I will inflict Joseph Emery Prank on you no longer.
How do you like this view of ours, Mr. Emerson?
I never really notice views. My father says there's only one perfect view, the view of the sky above our heads, and that all the views on earth are but bungled copies of it.
Oh. I expect your father has been reading Dante.
He said to us once that views are really crowds. Crowds of trees and houses and hills, and about to resemble each other in the way human crowds do.
There's an absurd account of a view in this book.
Mr. Emerson, have you any brothers or sisters?
None. Why?
You spoke of us.
Oh, I meant my mother.
Your mother?
Yes. Why not? I can just remember...
No reason. Except Mr. Eager said in Florence that old Mr. Emerson had murdered her in the sight of God. I'm sorry. Do go on, Mr. Emerson.
I was only going to say that I can just remember all three of us going into the country one day and... seeing as far as Hindhead. It is the first thing I remember.
Oh, how interesting. Oh, Cecil, don't go. Do read about the view.
Not while Mr. Emerson is here to entertain us.
No, please. If Mr. Emerson thinks it's frivolous, he can go and help the others find tennis balls.
Oh, am I really to go?
No, of course not. Really, Cecil, read.
If you insist. Leonora sat pensive and alone. Before her lay the rich vistas of Tuscany, dotted over with many a smiling village. The season was spring, a golden haze. Afar off, the towers of Florence, while the bank on which she sat was carpeted with violets.
What?
Appalling, isn't it? But wait, there's worse to come. All unobserved, Antonio stole up behind her. There came from his lips no wordy protestations such as formal lovers use. No eloquence was his, nor did he suffer from the lack of it. He simply enfolded her in his manly arms.
Oh, no. Miss Lavish knows. She knows about George Emerson and me. And look at George. He knows she knows. But how does she know?
And there is another much funnier passage further on.
I think perhaps we should go into tea.
Oh. Very well. I shall save my reading to you for another occasion. Come on, Emerson.
Was Cecil watching me? How am I to look at him? Or George? Or Mr. Emerson? As for Miss Lavish, only one person could have told her. Charlotte.
Oh, bother it. I've left the book by the tennis court.
Oh, don't go and get it now.
If I don't, your mother will scold me. Lucy.
No.
Yes.
Lucy, dearest, calm yourself, I beg.
But, Charlotte, how could you have told her?
Told her what?
About that dreadful afternoon in Italy when Mr. Emerson...
Oh, Lucy, dearest girl, she hasn't put it in her book.
Yes.
Not so that one could recognize the incident.
Yes!
Then never, never more shall Eleanor Lavish be a friend of mine.
So you did tell her?
Well, I did just happen when I had tea with her at Rome in the course of conversation.
But, Charlotte, what about the promise you made me? Why did you tell Miss Lavish when you wouldn't even let me tell my mother? Well, anyway, it's turned out a disaster. Cecil happened to read out the passage to me and Mr. Emerson. It upset Mr. Emerson and he insulted me again.
Did he indeed? Oh, Lucy, I shall never forgive myself, never to my dying day. Fancy if your prospect...
You have put me in a most awkward position. How am I to get out of it?
My dear, I...
That man must be put in his place in a way that he won't forget. But who's to do it? I can't tell Mother, owing to you, nor Cecil. I have no one to help me. That's why I'm asking you. What's wanted is a man with a whip.
Oh, I agree entirely. A man with a whip.
Yes, but it's no good just agreeing. What's to be done? Charlotte, you were ready enough to speak to him in Florence before you rushed me off to Rome. Can't you speak to him again now?
I would willingly move heaven and...
I want something more definite than that. Will you speak to him?
Me?
Surely it is the least you can do, considering it has all happened because you broke your word.
I will never forgive Eleanor Lavish, never.
Yes. Oh, no. Please.
Well, it's the kind of thing that only a gentleman can settle.
Very well. As no one will help me, I will speak to him myself. He's in the dining room. At least come with me.
Honey, Emerson?
No, thank you.
Oh, try the jam, then. The jam's jolly good.
No, nothing to eat.
Freddy, dear, why don't you go down to the others in the garden? Charlotte and I will give Mr. Emerson all he wants. Where's Mother?
In the drawing room.
Good. You go away.
Oh, all right. I say, Floyd, how about the singles?
Charlotte, sit down, please.
Very well, Lucy.
Mr. Emerson, I can't have it.
What?
I can't even talk to you. You must leave this house and never come into it again as long as I live here. I hate a row. Go now, please.
But no
discussion.
But I can't.
Go, please. I do not want to call in Mr. Vyse.
You don't mean that you're really going to marry that man?
You are being ridiculous.
You cannot live with Vyse. He's for acquaintance only. He is for society and for cultivated talk. He should know no one intimately, least of all a woman. Have you ever talked to Vyse without feeling tired?
Oh, I can scarcely discuss.
No, but have you ever? Oh, he is the sort who's all right as long as he keeps to things. Books, pictures. But who is death when he comes to people? He winces when my father mispronounces names of painters. He brings us here by a silly trick. That's why I'll speak out through all this muddle, even now. I would have held back if Cecil had been a different person, but when I meet you together, I find him protecting you and teaching you and your mother to be shocked, when it is for you to decide whether you're to be shocked or not. He's the type who's kept Europe back 1,000 years.
Mr. Emerson, Charlotte!
Therefore, not therefore I kissed you, because the book made me do that, and oh, I wish to goodness I had more self-control. I'm not ashamed. I don't apologize. But it has frightened you, and you may not have noticed that I love you.
Oh.
If you had, would you have told me to go and dealt with such a tremendous thing so lightly? Therefore, I settled to fight him.
You say that Mr. Vyse wants me to listen to him, Mr. Emerson. Pardon me for suggesting that you appear to have caught the habit.
Yes, I have. I'm the same kind of brute at heart. But I do love you. And surely in a better way than he does. I want you to have your own thoughts, even when I hold you in my arms. Lucy, be quick. There's no time for us to talk now. I cannot live without you.
And Mr. Vyse, does he not matter? The fact that I love Cecil and shall be his wife shortly? A detail of no importance, I suppose.
Lucy.
May I ask you what you intend to gain by this exhibition?
It is our last chance. I shall try all I can. Oh. Miss Bartlett, you wouldn't stop us this second time if you understood.
Mr. Emerson.
I have been into the dark, and I'm going back into it unless you will try to understand. It is being young. It is being certain that Lucy cares for me, really. It is that love and youth matter. Intellectually.
Oh, dear. What an awful man. Well, he amuses me. Either I'm mad or else he is, and I'm inclined to think it's the latter.
Well, it isn't everyone who could boast such a conquest, dearest.
Oh, one oughtn't to laugh, really. Might have been very serious. But you were so sensible and brave.
Let's go out and join the others.
Hello, Lucy. There's still light enough for another set, if you and Emerson hurry.
Mr. Emerson has had to go.
Oh, what a nuisance. That spoils the four. I say, Cecil, do play, do. There's a good chap. It's Floyd's last day. Do play, just this once.
My dear Freddy, I am no athlete. As you remarked this very morning, there are some chaps who are no good for anything but books. I plead guilty to being such a one, and will not inflict myself upon you.
Oh, Cecil, you are absolutely intolerable. How have I stood you for a moment?
I don't understand you.
Yes, you do, Cecil. I am very sorry about it, but I have carefully thought things over. We are too different. I must ask you to release me and try to forget that there ever was such a foolish girl.
Different? How?
I haven't had a very good education, for one thing. My Italian trip came too late, and I am forgetting all that I learnt there. I shall never be able to talk to your friends or behave as your wife should.
I still don't understand. You aren't yourself. Why don't we leave this until the morning? It's very late, Lucy. You're tired.
Tired? That is typical of you. You always think women don't mean what they say.
Well, you sound tired.
What if I do? It doesn't prevent me from realizing the truth. I can't marry you.
Well, you had that bad headache yesterday.
Oh!
All right, I see it's much more than a headache. You must excuse me if I say stupid things, but my brain has gone to pieces. Part of it lives 3 minutes back when I was sure you loved me.
There are certain days when one sees clearly, and this is one of them. If you want to know, Cecil, quite a small thing decided me to speak to you. When you wouldn't play tennis with Freddy.
I never play tennis. I never could.
Anyone can play well enough to make up a four. I thought it abominably selfish of you.
But I can't... Well, never mind the tennis. Why couldn't you have warned me if you felt something was wrong?
I knew you wouldn't understand. I might have known that there would have to be these dreadful explanations. Of course it isn't the tennis. That was only the last straw. I have often wondered if I was fitted to be your wife. Are you fitted to be my husband? I don't think so. But our relations seemed pleased, and we met so often, and it was no good mentioning it until things came to a head. They have today. Today I see clearly. I must speak. That's all.
I cannot think you're right, though all you say sounds true. I feel that you're not treating me fairly. It's all too horrible.
I really think I had better go to bed, if you don't mind. I shall only say things that will make me unhappy afterwards. And Mother or somebody may hear us and come down.
But I love you, Lucy. And I did think you loved me.
I did not. I thought I did at first.
Well, I dare say you are right not to. But it would hurt a little less if I knew why.
Because you're the sort who can't know anyone intimately.
What?
I don't mean that exactly. But it is that, more or less. When we were only acquaintances, you let me be myself, but now you're always protecting me. I won't be protected. I will choose for myself what is ladylike and right. A woman's place. You despise my mother.
I wonder...
You despise her because she's conventional and bothers over puddings. But, oh, goodness, conventional. Cecil, you're that. For you may understand beautiful things, but you don't know how to use them. You wrap yourself up in art and books and music and would try to wrap me up, too. I won't be stifled, not by the most glorious music. For people are more glorious, and you want to hide them from me. That's why I break off our engagement. You were all right as long as you kept to things, but when you came to people...
It is true.
Mostly true.
True. Every word. It is a revelation. It is I.
Anyhow, those are my reasons for not being your wife.
The sort that can know no one intimately. It is true. You are even greater than I thought. I shall never forget your insight. I have never really known you until this evening. I have just used you as a peg for my own silly notions of what a woman should be. But this evening you are a different person. New thoughts, even a new voice.
What do you mean, a new voice?
I mean that a new person seems to be speaking through you.
If you think I am in love with someone else, you are very much mistaken.
Of course I don't think that. You're not that kind, Lucy.
You do think it? It's your old idea. The idea that has kept Europe back... I mean, the idea that women are always thinking of men. If a girl breaks off her engagement, everyone says, oh, she had someone else in mind. It's disgusting. As if a girl can't break it off for the sake of freedom.
I may have said that in the past. I shall never say it again. Of course, there's no question of someone else. I beg your pardon most humbly if my word suggested that there was.
All right, Cecil, that will do. Don't apologise to me. It was my mistake.
I must thank you for what you have done, for showing me who I really am. Will you shake hands?
Of course I will. Good night, Cecil. Goodbye.
Good night, Lucy.
Poor Cecil. I can never marry now. Never. Cecil believes in me. I must come to believe in myself. One who cares for liberty, not men. I must forget that George loves me. That... yes, that he has been thinking through me, has gained me release with honour, has gone away into... into what? The dark. No, I can never marry. Like Charlotte? Oh, no. I'm not ever like Charlotte.
Good afternoon, Mr. Beebe.
Ah.
Oh, gracious, what a mess everything is. Look at my scarlet pompons. And the wind blowing our skirts. And the ground so hard that not a prop will stick in. And then the carriage having to go out when I had counted on having Powell, who does tie up dahlias properly. Oh. How do you do, Mr. B?
I am well, Miss Bartlett. I hope you are the same.
Here, Minnie, the bath.
The what?
The string child.
Hello, Minnie.
Hello, Uncle Arthur. It's not my fault if I don't know what Bass is. Everyone is being very disagreeable today. They're angry with Miss Honeychurch because she was late for breakfast. And Mr. Floyd has gone. And Mr. Vise. And Freddy won't play with me.
Come for a walk with me, Minnie. You've worried them as much as they can stand. Mrs. Honeychurch, I only called in aimlessly. I shall take Minnie up to tea at the Beehive Tavern, if I may.
Oh, yes, do. No, not the scissors. Thank you, Charlotte, when both my hands are full already.
Oh, Miss Bartlett, why don't you take tea with us?
Oh, no, not Miss Bartlett.
Minnie, hush.
Oh, but I can hardly...
Yes,
Charlotte, do go. The garden boy will help me. There's nothing for you to do, either in the house or out of it.
Well, Marion, if you insist. Come, Minnie, you must change your clothes. Do I have to, Uncle Arthur?
Do as Miss Bartlett says, child.
Oh, dear, this house is not at all what it was yesterday.
Don't be a prig. Let's all go together. Goodbye, Mrs. Honeychurch.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
It is terrible, Miss Bartlett, this havoc among the flowers.
It is always terrible when the promise of months is destroyed in a moment.
So it is. Well, now, while you attend to Minnie, I will pay my respects to Miss Honeychurch. How do you do, Miss Honeychurch? Miss Bartlett and Minnie are coming with me to tea at the Beehive. Would you come too?
I don't think I will, thank you.
No, I didn't suppose you would care to. Miss Honeychurch.
Yes?
As I was coming here, I met them on the way to the railway station.
Who do you mean?
I think you know. Freddy and Mr. Vise. Your brother told me.
Oh, did he?
I needn't say that it will go no further.
Mother, Charlotte, Cecil, Freddy, you. Who next?
If you'll allow me to say so, I'm very glad, and I'm certain you've done the right thing.
So I hoped other people would think, but they don't seem to.
I could see Miss Bartlett thought it unwise.
So does Mother. Mother minds dreadfully.
and Freddy too.
Still, Freddy never hit it off with Vi's match, did he? I gathered that he disliked the engagement and felt it might separate him from you.
Boys are so odd.
I've had an absurd letter from Miss Allen. That was really what brought me over. I thought it might amuse you all.
How delightful.
Shall I read it to you?
If you wish.
She says, since Florence did my poor sister so much good, we do not see why we should not try Athens this winter. Of course, Athens is a plunge.
The Miss Allens are going abroad.
But that's what they say. They even talk of going on to Constantinople and ask if I know of a really comfortable pension there. Constantinople. The Miss Allens. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it romance?
When do they start?
Next week, I gather.
How perfectly splendid of them. Oh, delightful. I wish they'd take me.
Are you serious?
Entirely. Constantinople. I have always longed to go there.
I didn't realize that you and the Miss Allens were still such friends.
I would give anything to go with them.
Would your mother spare you again so soon? You've been home hardly any time at all.
She must spare me. I simply must go away. I have to. Don't you see, I must go somewhere. I have been worrying all morning, and here comes the very thing.
Mr. Beebe.
I'm here, Miss Bartlett.
Your niece and I are ready.
And so am I. Goodbye, Miss Honeychurch.
Oh, yes, goodbye. You do see, don't you, Mr. Beebe? I must get away. Ever so far.
Yes. Well, come along, Miss Bartlett. Minnie, tea, tea, tea. Minnie, you look very smart.
I should hope so after all that changing.
Do you think that an umbrella would be wise?
We shan't have rain. Oh, it's good to hear Lucy playing again.
Lucy can always play. What was that she said to you about her going far away? What a lovely smell of baking.
Good baking and the Beehive Tavern are synonymous. Now then, Minnie, you'd better sit on the veranda or you will be bored.
Yes, please.
And Miss Bartlett and I had better sit in here or we shall be cold.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We shall have your food sent out to you.
Thank you, Uncle Arthur.
Will this table suit you, Miss Bartlett?
Perfectly.
Yeah, the weather is breaking up, I fear.
I should call it broken.
Such clouds. But to return to this Greek plan, Miss Bartlett, what do you think of it? Lucy joining the Miss Allens in their mad career. Oh, to me, it's all... I can't explain. It's wrong.
There, I cannot agree with you. In it, I spy Lucy's salvation.
Really? How?
She wants to leave Windy Corner.
I know, but it seems so odd, so unlike her, so... I was going to say selfish.
It is natural, surely, that after such painful scenes, Lucy should desire a change.
Well, since another lady agrees with her, I must own that I am partially convinced. But why does she need to go so far as Greece?
You may well ask that. Oh, Mr. Beebe, I had a long and most unsatisfactory interview with her this morning. I cannot help her. I will say no more. But Greece, yes, is absolutely necessary. I know. I know.
I see. I have this feeling about Miss Honeychurch as if she stood in need of deliverance. As if she desired it, even... It has always been my belief that they that marry do well, but they that refrain do better. However, it is a belief that takes a little getting used to. I can see that time and distant places might well help.
Quite so. And for that reason, I, for one, will help her go to Greece. Will you?
Yes, I will help her. As soon as we have had our tea, let us go back and settle the thing.
Mr. Beebe, as I said to Lucy, I don't see why Greece is necessary, quite apart from the upset and the expense. But if you do, I suppose it's all right.
It must be something I can't understand.
You truly don't mind her breaking with Vyde, however?
Well, it's awkward, as I said to you, but no. In my heart, I'm thankful. Simply thankful. And Freddy is as well.
Good. Then Greece, I'm sure, will be the saving of her.
Let's go and tell her.
Sang as well as played.
It's a song Cecil gave her. How odd girls are.
Delightful, delightful.
Oh, Mr. Beebe, Mother.
Don't stop, dear. I'm sorry I was so cross about Greece, but it came on top of the dahlias.
That doesn't matter, Mother.
And you are quite right, and Greece will be all right. You can go if the Miss Allens will have you.
Oh, splendid, thank you.
Thank Mr. Beebe.
Oh, Mr. Beebe knows my rude ways.
That's a very beautiful song. Please go on.
It isn't very good, I forget why. Harmony or something.
Oh, I suspected it was unscholarly. It's so beautiful.
I'm so glad you like it.
I consider your daughter has behaved quite splendidly. Depend on it, the Miss Allens are the answer. You might like to know that they will be in London very soon.
Miss Allen, we are so grateful to you for agreeing.
Very grateful. And do please thank your sister and say how sorry we both are that her health did not permit her to join us.
Of course I will. She will be perfectly delighted. And now, are you quite sure I cannot offer you some tea and cakes? The cakes in this hotel are excellent.
No, thank you, Miss Allen.
Then, Miss Honeychurch, remember, the place to go is the Haymarket Stores. There you will be able to equip yourself with all the traveller's necessities. Quinine, for example, now available in tablet form. Paper soap, too, is a great help towards freshening one's face on the train.
I will make sure to go, Miss Allen.
Although, of course, you do have Mr. Vyse to help you. Is it possible that he may join you later?
Perhaps.
Oh, we should so like to meet him. Doubtless he will come to see you off.
No one will see Lucy off. She doesn't like it.
Indeed? How very curious.
We only just got through.
You know, Lucy, I shall never understand this hole-in-the-corner way. You've got rid of Cecil, well and good. But why not announce it? There we have to sit, fencing with Miss Allen and almost telling lies. And be seen through, too, I dare say, which is most unpleasant.
You don't know the Miss Allens. They are such gossip.
It's not only the Miss Allens, it's everyone. Why?
Because I settled with Cecil not to let it be announced until I left England.
I still don't see. Not that or anything.
Oh, say it, Lucy Honeychurch, why can't you? It's because George Emerson has been bothering me, and if he hears I've given up Cecil, he may begin again. But I can't.
The fact is, you're tired of Windy Corner.
Windy Corner? What is that? My home. I have no home. I have no home because I do not love George. I broke off my engagement because I do not love George. I must go to Greece because I do not love George.
Lucy, did you hear me? I say
oh,
you're...
Oh, Mother, what rubbish you talk. Of course I'm not tired of Windy Corner.
Then why not say so at once?
But as we are talking about it, I may as well say that I shall want to be away in future more than I have been.
Shall you?
I've seen the world so little. One ought to come up to London more. I might even share a flat with another girl.
And mess with typewriters and latchkeys. And agitate and scream and be carried off kicking by the police and call it a mission.
Hey, Mother, hush. I merely want more independence.
Very well. Take your independence and be gone. Find two doddering old ladies and go abroad with them. Despise the house your father built and the garden he planted and our dear view. And share a flat with another girl.
Perhaps I spoke hastily.
Oh, how you do remind me of Charlotte.
Charlotte?
More every moment.
I don't know what you mean. Charlotte and I are not in the least alike.
Well, I see the likeness. And that reminds me. We are engaged to pick up Charlotte from the rectory on our way home and rescue her from Mr. Beebe's old mother.
Miss Bartlett will be with you directly, madam.
Thank you, Jen.
Marion, how good of you to remember me. It's so out of your way, I'm sure.
It isn't in the least.
But listen, as if I have not given you trouble enough, may I beg another favour? Would it test your patience beyond bearing if I were to go to church?
Church?
I know it means you're waiting, but Mr. Beebe has gone to say the litany and I would so love...
Why, certainly. Let's all go. Lucy?
No church for me, thank you.
Then we shall go alone and Powell can take the carriage to the stables. Come, Charlotte.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
You won't object to sitting in the rector's study, will you, miss?
No, Jane, not in the least. Thank you.
A lady to wait, sir.
Oh.
Miss Honeychurch, I wondered if that was your voice. Oh, that you should come.
Mr. Emerson, what brings you here?
Oh, had you not heard? We are to give up Sissy Villa.
But why?
Well, it's too far out of town for George, and my rheumatism has come on. We hope to let it furnished. Mr. Beebe is generously housing me until George can come and take me to his London rooms.
Oh, I see.
Miss Honeychurch, we are so sorry. George is so sorry. He thought he had a right to try. I wish he'd told me first. He ought not to have tried, but you mustn't scold him.
He has behaved abominably. I am glad he is sorry.
Not abominably. He only tried when he should not have tried. You have all you want, Miss Honeychurch. You are going to marry the man you love. Do not go out of George's life saying he is abominable.
No, of course. Abominable is much too strong. I am sorry I used it.
Especially as he has gone under.
Gone under?
As his mother did.
I don't understand.
When I wouldn't have George baptized.
Mr. Emerson, what are you talking about?
She agreed that baptism was nothing. But then he caught a fever when he was 12. She thought it was a judgment. The judgment. Our boy had typhoid because no clergyman had dropped water on him in church. Is it possible, Miss Honeychurch? Shall we slip back into darkness forever?
I don't know. I don't understand this sort of thing.
Because, you see, Mr. Eager, you remember him in Florence, he was curate then in Brixton, and he came while I was out and acted according to his principles. Oh, I don't blame him or anyone, but by that time George was well and she was ill. Mr. Eager made her think about sin, and she went under thinking about it.
Oh, I remember Mr. Eager saying she was murdered in the sight of God. Yes, indeed, Mr. Eager, by you. But, Mr. Emerson, that's terrible. And is your son now ill?
No, not ill. Just gone under. He will live, but he will not think it worthwhile to live. He will never think anything worthwhile. You remember that church at Florence? He remembers. He remembers everything. And after you left Florence, he was... Oh, it was horrible.
I am so sorry, but it is no good discussing
this. He can't bear to be about here. And I must be where he is.
Oh, Mr. Emerson, don't leave. At least not on my account. Don't leave your comfortable home.
Oh, how good everyone is. But I must be with George. I must make him care to live.
Yes, but don't go back to London. It's absurd. I am going to Greece.
All the way to Greece? But you were to be married this year, I thought.
Not till January.
Ah, then presumably Mr. Vyse is going with you. I hope that you will enjoy Greece with Mr. Vyse.
Thank you.
Ah, good. I counted on you two keeping each other company. It's pouring with rain, and my entire congregation, my mother, your mother, and your cousin, stands waiting for the carriage. Did Powell take it to the stables?
I think so.
I shall go and see. How are the Miss Allen? Oh,
very well, thank you. At least...
Did you tell Mr. Emerson about Greece?
Yes, I did.
Don't you think it very plucky of her, Mr. Emerson, to undertake Greece and the two Miss Allens? Now, Miss Honeychurch, keep warm while I find Powell.
Mr. Vyse is not going. He will stop behind in England.
You are breaking with him? The man you love?
I had to.
Why, Miss Honeychurch? Why?
He was so masterful. He wouldn't let me go my own way. He would try to improve me.
My dear, I am worried about you. It seems to me you are in a muddle. Oh, yes, yes, take an old man's word. There's nothing worse than a muddle in all the world. Do you remember in that church in Florence when you pretended to be annoyed with me and weren't? Hmm? Do you remember before when you refused the room with a view? Those were muddles, little but ominous. And I'm fearing you are in one now.
I don't see why
you... To quote a friend of mine, life is like a public performance on a violin in which you must learn the instrument as you go along. What you learn especially is love. That's it. That's what I mean. You love George.
No.
But you do. You love the boy, body and soul, plainly, directly, as he loves you. You won't marry the other man for his sake.
How dare you? Oh, how like a man to suppose that a woman is always thinking about a man.
But you are.
That's horrible.
Ah, you're shocked, and I mean to shock you. I can reach you no other way. You must marry, or your life will be wasted. Now, I know that with George, you will find the tenderness, the comradeship, the poetry, all the things that really matter. I know you love him. Be his wife. He is already part of you. It isn't possible to love and part. Love is eternal. Love is of the body. Oh, not the body, but of the body. Oh, the misery that would be saved if we confessed that. Oh, for a little directness to liberate the soul. For we have souls. I can't say how they came or whether they go, but we have them, and I see you ruining yours. I cannot bear it. It is again the darkness creeping in. It is hell. Oh, what nonsense I talk. I've made you cry. Dear girl, forgive me. When I think what life is and how seldom love is answered by love. Marry, my son.
You frighten me. I told Cecil. Mr. B believes I... Everything's arranged for Athens. I'm caught. I cannot break the whole of life for George's sake. They trusted me. Give him my love. Say, muddle.
Yes, yes, I will send her out to you directly. Mother, come into the ward.
Lucy.
No, no, Mr. Beebe is in the hall. Oh, please not, Mr. Emerson. They trust me.
Why should they when you have deceived them?
Miss Honeychurch, your mother's...
You're not worthy of their trust.
What are you saying, Emerson?
I was saying, why should you trust her when she has deceived you?
I don't follow you. To whom do you refer? Trust whom?
I mean, she has pretended to you that she did not love George. They have loved one another all along.
I shall never marry him.
Why ever not? What is to stop you now?
Mr. Beebe, I have misled you. I have misled myself.
Yourself are rubbish, Miss Honeychurch.
It is not rubbish. It's the part of people that you don't understand.
Lucy! Lucy, dear!
Mr. Beebe, could you help me?
Help you? I am more grieved than I can possibly express. It is lamentable. Lamentable! Incredible!
But what's wrong with the boy?
Nothing, Mr. Emerson, except that he no longer interests me. Marry George, Miss Honeychurch. He will do admirably.
Oh, Mr. Emerson!
I know, I know. Now it is all dark. Now beauty and passion seem never to have existed. But remember the hillside over Florence and the view. Ah, oh, my dear, if I were George and gave you one kiss, it would make you brave. You have to go cold into a battle that needs warmth, and your mother and all your friends will despise you. But we fight for more than love or pleasure. There is truth. Truth counts.
Then kiss me. I will try.
Lucy, whatever are you doing? Charlotte and I are catching our deaths in the carriage.
I am sorry. Mother, I am going to marry George Emerson.
My old room. Exactly as it was.
Nothing changes in the Pension Bertolini.
It isn't your old room, because it's the room I had, and I had your father's room. I forget why. Charlotte insisted for some reason.
Oh, anyway, it's our room now. Oh, Lucy. Oh.
George, you baby, get up.
Why shouldn't I be a baby? Your lap is very comfortable.
Get up off that cold floor, or you'll be starting rheumatism next. Mm.
Then kiss me. Just here. Were there any letters?
One from Freddy.
Anything good in it?
Not yet. He has to build us up again from the beginning. Oh, why will men have theories about women? I don't have any about men.
Oh, come and look at the view.
Oh, yes.
Look at the cypresses and the church, whatever its name is.
San Miniato.
Signorino!
Who's that?
Signorino!
It's a cab driver.
Domani, facciamo un giro. Drive tomorrow, yes?
No! No money!
Could it possibly be Fenn?
Who?
The man who drove us to Fiesole, whom Mr. Eager was so unkind to. Who led me to you?
Was he called Fenn?
Not really. It was Mr. Beebe who called him that.
Mr. Beebe. Yes.
He will never forgive us. I wish he didn't influence my mother so. Yet, if we act the truth, the people who really love us are sure to come back to us in the long run. Don't you think?
Perhaps. I acted the truth, and you came back to me.
Signorino! Domani, un giro!
Oh, bother the man. No! No money!
Oh, how this room reminds me of Charlotte. Just think, that evening at the rectory, if she had known that your father was in the house, she would have stopped me going in and then...
But she didn't know. She saw my father.
No, she didn't. She was upstairs with old Mrs. Beebe and then went straight to church.
My father saw her. He told me. He was dozing, and when he woke, there was Miss Bartlett just turning to go. Look, they didn't speak, but she knew he was there.
How like Charlotte to undo all her work by a feeble muddle at the last moment.
Or did she mean it?
Mean what?
Signorino!
Is it possible? I'll put a marvel to you. That your cousin has always hoped. That from the very first moment we met, she hoped far down in her mind that we would be like this. That she fought us on the surface, and yet she hoped. I can't explain her any other way.
Could Charlotte do such a thing?
Look how she kept me alive in you. Tell me how else she could have described us as she did to Miss Lavish. She's not frozen, Lucy. She's not withered up all through. I do believe that far below all speech and all behaviour, she is glad.
Impossible. No. It is just possible.
Signorino! Domani facciamo un giro! Domani!
Thank you.
In Part 4 of A Room with a View by Ian Forster, dramatized in four parts by David Wade, Kathy Sarah played Lucy Honeychurch, Julia McKenzie, Mrs. Honeychurch, Stephen Moore, Mr. Beebe, Sheila Hancock, Charlotte Bartlett, John Moffat, Mr. Emerson, Gary Cady, George Emerson, Roger May, Freddie Honeychurch, Nathaniel Parker, Cecil Vise, and Anna Cropper, Miss Allen. Mr. Floyd was played by Jonathan Keeble, Minnie Beebe by Sarah Jane Derrick, and the young Italian by Andrew Branch. The pianist was Terence Albright. A Room with a View was directed by Glyn Dearman.